All right, Joel Radio's back. Welcome in, everybody, to Joel Radio. It's Joel here, Craig Ameni with Corey Hall.
Shabbat Shalom.
Joining us today, as usual.
Thank you.
Yes. And this is good because we're L'chaim. Done.
Mazel tov. To all my Hebrews and Shebrews
yes.
out there.
Welcome to all them.
Big
and we have guests today because we're done with our, you know, for the last three shows, we were recapping 2013.
Oh, that end of the year stuff. Never
yeah,
ended.
And we did all that, and now it's February, so now we fully recap 2013. And we can start in 2014 and start with this year's bullshit instead of last year's.
I'm already ready for a new asshole of the year list.
Yeah, we're going to start that, and then, and our movies. I hope people are watching some of those movies. If you didn't hear our best movie show, that was, I think, the longest show we ever did, the last one. So, listen to that. Well, it's good recommendations for people to watch movies. And we did a TV rundown and everything, so it's a lot of stuff. So. But now we'll get into some current events.
Sure.
Current issues. Affairs of the day. And we have two guests joining us. This is great. We have two girls on the show today.
Yeah.
That's right, guys. Two girls.
This is the most girls I've ever been in this room at.
No, actually, we've had two girls in here many times, but not in a long time, right? Is that safe to say?
I'm trying to think if we ever had three women.
Did
on
we
the
ever
show
have three
time.
Women? Well, we did our, when we did like, what was the show? Was it show 200 where we moved into Studio 2 or whatever I called it?
Yes.
We did it in the other room and we had everybody.
That's true.
That's when we had a lot of people on that.
Yeah, well,
and we've had, but it's been a while since two girls have graced.
Let's introduce our guest.
Sure. Okay. Well, our returning guest, Lauren Uhalic, is
there
here.
There you go,
yes.
Lauren
Uhalic.
Thank you very much.
Comedian.
Excited to be back.
Roller derby queen. She
Hashtag
was with us.
Whamtramic.
Whamtramic. So she was
awesome.
With us, I don't know, 6 months ago
are
or
you
so.
On, you have a tweet to Twitter?
I have a Twitter. It is low youch.
Yeah. Okay.
L-O-Y-O-C-H.
It's not easy for everybody.
They'll find that. Yeah. Okay. Well,
it's phonetic.
I can put it on. I can put it in the. I can put it in the rundown of their show.
Yeah.
You don't have a separate roller derby account, though, do you?
No. I mean,
for only roller derby related issues.
I'm hitting a bitch still.
Right, you should
still hitting
that's
a bitch.
That's right. No,
just
you, well, you could
a
just
bitch.
Have a Twitter feed just to call out bitches on, you know.
No, we
just
don't
to talk
need that.
Trash. No, all right.
Let's be honest. Women are much less direct than
that's
that.
Good because men are into Twitter fights now in 2014. That's how sad it
that's
is.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Heard a lot of
what,
that.
What kind of a man is this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Fight?
Twitter fights are pretty seem sort of stupid, yeah, but. Okay. I'm only on Twitter as Upchuck the Clown. So if you want to follow me on there,
oh.
Although I think Joel Radio is going to step into Twitter. I think Joel
wow.
Radio is going
well,
to find me get into 2014.
What year is this?
Well, yeah, I know.
We've only been podcasting since 2005.
It'll be 9 years next month.
So let's get the word out.
Yeah, I think we'll get the Twitter going very soon on that
the Twitter.
But let's introduce our other guest, another funny female comedian from here in the
That's
trade.
Right.
Samantha Ragers here. Give
Samantha.
Us Sam. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you guys?
It's your first appearance on Joel Radio. So should we do the initiation now
well,
or later?
As a first-time guest,
oh,
you
she
will
gets
receive
toffee fae.
Your own toffee fae, the candy that's too good for kids. This is an old inside joke
it's
going back to 2005.
Yeah, to 2005 toffee fae.
I think I ate a toffee fan on like our third show, and I was mocked and ridiculed.
Yeah,
for
I
it.
Made fun of him.
And it's now become.
But Sam does. Sam's holding that like she doesn't know what that is.
I never had.
Never
toffee
had a toffee
fan.
Fan.
She
You're
realize.
In for a taste.
Well,
and one of course
children.
For Lauren.
Yeah, give Lauren.
Did you
one.
Get one last time?
No.
Well,
the only thing that was here.
Hit the cat with it
nuggets.
Next time.
Hit a cat butt and bounced off, but you're fine.
Well, you need to try the toffee fae, girls. I don't think we can move any.
It's true.
I don't think we can proceed well, any further with today's
it's
show.
It's a taste treat for your mouth, so let's make
yeah,
that
go
happen.
Ahead. Have a toffee fae.
Yeah.
And
a taste treat for your mouth. You write.
Yes. I do.
You
I
write
know.
For a living.
I do.
Yeah.
Professional writer.
And,
taste
it them good and yum stuff. You em lick it and like it sticky.
Oh man, I feel like this is an Oscar. The closest
this is
thing
the candy.
Yeah,
that
that's as good as
I
you're
mean,
getting.
It's
out
so
of
gold on the inside.
It's
it feels
the,
like
yeah.
this is the candy.
It's
Oscar,
the candy
isn't
that's
it?
Too good for kids.
Now,
so enjoy.
There's
that.
A nut in there, girl. So be careful.
Do you have a nut allergy?
If you taste something in there, there's a hazel.
Samantha's very fragile. I'm afraid.
Samantha hasn't even gotten hers out yet. Okay, Sam's eating. Lauren's halfway into hers, and Samantha's.
Oh my gosh!
Samantha took the
Same.
Whole. Sam
oh.
took the whole thing
like a champ,
and Lauren is
like
on like
champ.
Three or four bites.
Yeah, it's a yeah. nibbler.
You know.
There's different styles of eating toffee fade.
I wanted to make sure I got all of the flavors.
This became...
I think Sam wants to spit hers out. Corey, open your hand.
No, she loves it.
Don't take it from
her. No, you can't take her candy.
All right, so she's
don't take a woman's candy.
She's a convert, for sure. And Lauren, I think, is enjoying it. Are you enjoying it?
I am enjoying it.
That's
The Toffee Fade's been such a long-running shtick that now we have fans that will send it to us.
Yeah, we get either a German fan. This box... If you notice, this is the foreign spelling of Toffee Fade.
Oh, yes, right.
Because these are from Canada. Our friend Cam from Yellowknife sent us, what did he send us, about 6 boxes of these?
A huge
And
pack,
I gave you half of it, and you're still eating your way through it.
I've got an unopened box.
Why is there an accent mark on there? It seems like there should be.
I don't know.
Come on, Canada.
But Canada, they spell it with
Get your grammar together.
With a double E at the end, and America, it's F-A-Y.
So this is nonsense.
And then we have some other. These we'll save for later, unless anyone wants to get into these. These are some Polish candies that were. These are basically like he's
all about
Cam. This is also from Cam from Yellowknife, and he sent these as like, "Hey, you guys won't like these. I bet. Like this is like a dare. That's what these are. I mean, and I'll describe.
We used to get our German super fan Niels, who actually flew here.
Yeah,
to see a live show at Club Bar.
I think 3 times he flew here
was
to hang out with us.
I think about the third. Yeah. The first time we were flabbergasted. And the third time we were like, get out of here.
And these are, now this one here is, it's called Lalia. That's how I would describe it. But I want to tell everybody what's in this one.
Give it to the Polak.
She's not going to read the Polish. This is, well,
I can't actually read
Polish. It's milk with cherries and apple. So it's dried pieces of apple and dried cherries.
I don't know why this is a dare.
On milk chocolate. And then,
white chocolate with pistachios and cranberries.
Lauren, it involves a vegetable or fruit, so it is a dare to Joel.
No, it's I actually like all of the contents of these. You said you didn't like white chocolate, and so you didn't want to eat this one. So,
well, I'm not a big white chocolate fan.
Well, should we eat this now, or should we wait? Should we build suspense?
Why have white chocolate when you can have the real thing?
So if you were locked in a room with white chocolate, you wouldn't even...
Oh, I'd eat it. I'm a fat guy. No, I'm a fat guy. Don't get me wrong.
All right, I'm just tearing into the white chocolate one. Right
white now. Chocolate's one of the few white things I don't prefer.
I'm going to name my... Like,
you want
my
this one? You can tear into this one if you want.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's just get these out of the way. Cam sent us these for Christmas, so I've been sitting on these for a while. Not literally sitting on them, but... look at this. It's like a big square of... It's all kind of busted up. But
Joel's been sitting on like Horton Hears a Who. You've been sitting gently...
Go ahead and just tear into it. It might go everywhere, but that's all right. I can vacuum the studio.
Right, this one is the apple.
No,
and
way too
I really should have taken photos of these before I
well, you should have.
No, go ahead and eat them.
Wait, mine's still intact. So
no,
you can
it's
take,
fine. Well, me and Lauren are already eating the white chocolate.
All right, okay.
Lauren, I only got one pistachio in this piece, but...
Go ahead.
We're probably more professional at this.
Got a little pistachio on it.
Well,
it's good. It's good, salty, sweet, sour. It's got all the flavors.
Cranberries might be a little too much.
My giant
Sam,
fingers.
Can you open that? He's got big fat
I got it.
Hands over there. He's got big baseball mitt hands.
I'll tell you when I
The cranberries might be too much on this.
Your facial expression is amazing, Joel.
Yeah.
I really like sour things, so I'm a big fan of the cranberries. Maybe cut up smaller. If I could give the people at Lalia some advice, I would say cut up the cranberries smaller.
Yeah, the cranberries are like half a whole cranberry dried out. And you want some more of this, and then I'll hand that over to Corey. I think I've had enough of this particular one.
It's a lot of dried apple.
Dried apples are kind of good, though.
I like it. Oh, my goodness.
The chocolate's fairly good.
Right, is this considered a serving of fruit?
Yeah, I think you're getting your food pyramid.
This is more fruit than you've eaten in a while, Sam.
Oh, by the way, we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. We're not just going to sit here and eat candy. It's...
Sorry, wait. Sam's going to get rickets, so we need her to
keep
enjoy
eating,
some.
Sam.
She's got really bad scurvy right
now.
Yeah,
scurvy.
Here, you can have some of this one.
Lauren helped take care of me when I had shingles in September.
Oh, my goodness.
You really
had shingles?
And listen, guys, by help take care of her, she means I didn't only let her eat donuts because all of her groceries were donuts, and I said maybe you should have fruit.
Isn't shingles you get when you're like 50 years old? You're a young girl. How do you get shingles?
Yeah, only 25% of people get it before they're 75.
Yeah. Wow.
We could. I know we have a hot...
Good for you.
We have hot topics. We have a loaded
agenda.
We do.
I literally have like pages and pages of notes here.
We could do 90 minutes on Sam's ailments.
I didn't know Sam had shingles. Throw everything out, Corey.
Yeah.
Sam had shingles. Holy shit.
She didn't know it was shingles for a little while.
I haven't eaten a shingle.
We should just get a doctor in here to examine Sam on a show and just.
Well, Cam. I think Cam did pretty good with these chocolates. These are not that bad.
You know what? Even the white chocolate one, I see what you're saying. The cranberry's a little sour, but it's all right.
I think I prefer the milk chocolate one, maybe, but.
Well, they're very European.
Yeah, they're something.
They're European, all right.
Well, these are from Poland, apparently, according to the label, so.
Does Cam need a pen pal?
Which. Poland does.
You want Cam to send you candies? Cam will. Well, if you get a, if Niels gets a hold of you, he'll send you everything. Forget about it. He'll be flying over. Look, you get a hold, right?
We have threatened to do the live comedy tour.
Yeah.
If the good people of Yellowknife can put together the cash.
Yeah, we've told Cam we'll go up there, but we need a certain amount of
what
money.
What they got to do is pass the whale tooth or the husk. Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah,
the hollowed out whale tusk and. Just pass that around and see if you can collect some money, and we'll come up there. Yellowknife is in the Arctic Circle.
What?
Yeah, it's above the Arctic Circle in Canada.
The closest
it's
town.
It's in the Northwest Territories.
It's get this. The closest town is Edmonton, which is 1,400 miles away.
Yeah.
So you have to fly up there and then ride like a moose across an ice highway, and it's pretty frightening.
Can we get sled dogs in on this journey?
Yeah, oh, totally. Totally.
It'd be all about sled dogs.
That's what Cuba Gooding Jr. actually will be your guide because he's out of work. So he will sled dog you right up into Yellowknife.
I'd be pumped. I actually have an autographed picture of Cuba Gooding Jr.
Do you? What?
It's how she cured her shingles.
Oh, is that what she just stared at Cuba?
The power of Cuba compels you.
Yeah. She radio cured her with his magic retard powers.
All right. Well, here's what we got for topics today. Enough candy. We'll eat the candy throughout the show. But here's what we have for topic wise. I'm going to tease some things.
Lauren's pussy whipped. Look at her.
Yeah, the cat is. The cat Lauren is and the cat have made a connection here.
We're having a moment.
You know, he still has his nuts, so he's very wild. He's a little. Crazy.
So does Joel. So
yeah. So
very,
but that's,
Joel. We never got Joel spayed.
So here are the topics on today's show. We're going to talk about comedy diversity through the eyes of Seinfeld. That'll be one topic for today's show. You can't use that with the cat in the room.
Oh,
you know
out.
Why? Because he'll flip out. Yeah, don't do okay. that. Okay, it's a comedy diversity through the eyes of Jerry Seinfeld. We'll talk about Koreans cheating on Jeopardy, or is it not cheating?
No.
We'll talk about the end of Jay Leno.
Good.
We could even start with the end of Jay Leno. I have big news on this show, a big announcement about Joel Radio.
Oh, great, okay.
I have, Corey has some movie reviews for us.
Sure.
And what else do we have? Oh, I don't know. I was going to maybe update my best TV shows because I think I forgot something. But let's start with Super Bowl. Why don't we start with that? That was this week.
Oh, yeah.
And Corey had a party at his house for a Super Bowl.
A mini party.
And when I say party, I mean there was four of us, including Corey and his wife.
Yeah.
It was a wild party. And you'd think it was some couple's party, but it was actually not.
It was just me and a couple friends. Well,
your two single friends showed up.
Last year, we went to a Super Bowl party that had a bunch of children at it.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
And it was a disaster. Yeah. It was horrific. All these feral hillbilly children running around, hitting each other with, you know, dog bones and stuff.
But you got out of that. You left at halftime and you came to Rob Rose's Super Bowl party, which is where I was, which was, you know, a bunch of burly dudes drinking beer, which is
Know why we didn't that this year, but whatever.
And then this year, Corey, you know, had it, which was fine. And I was excited because I was like, I was just going to watch Super Bowl at home, and Corey invites me. And it turned out to be the worst Super Bowl of all time, which is not Corey's fault at all.
Oh,
I don't blame him for that.
Yeah.
And we said, well, there's always the commercials and the halftime show. Those are good. But also, apparently the Denver Broncos put together the halftime show and the commercials, and they didn't get anything right because I thought it was all terrible. If the exception of the Radio Shack ad, that was the one thing we took away, right? We liked the 80s called and they want their store back and Hulk Hogan running through that.
Yeah, what was it? Was it Audi had the ad with the British actors? That was okay.
They were all the villains drive Audis.
Oh, yeah, that one was okay.
Or did they all drive Audis or did they all drive Jaguars?
Jaguars.
I think they all drove
Jaguars.
Jaguars, yes.
Right, Jaguars.
Yeah.
Sam didn't see the Super Bowl. She was outside. She looked at it through the window.
She was outside the bar. With her face against the glass, with no idea, and not getting
remember, you know,
and only half a matchstick left.
I love how in movies where it's like, Lex Luthor is attacking, and so everybody stands outside a window at a department store and watches.
Yeah, that, you can't do that.
Where
anymore.
Are those setups with TVs in the windows that people?
Yeah, the, back then
Sam
I,
probably knows. Where are those?
Plymouth has a bunch of good ones this time of year. That you can
Plymouth
learn
does.
See, she
yeah.
knows what's up.
She's got that unlock.
So anyway, yeah, so the Super Bowl was really lame, I thought. I mean, 43-8. And people at Denver was the 2.5-point favorite, but they hiked the ball over Peyton Manning's head in the first play, which was, by the way, you know, the guy Manny Ramirez who hiked the ball? You know what his legacy was, Corey? You know where he learned? You know where he learned to hike the ball?
On the 0-16 Detroit Lions.
On the 0-16 Detroit Lions. So there, that was that was that. And
I contest that the Super Bowl used to never be good.
Well, I think in the 80s and 90s it was bad because the Cowboys, all of their wins, there were blowouts and stuff. But since the league put in salary caps, it seemed like Super Bowls got more competitive over
but
the years.
This one was over.
This one was
soon,
terrible.
And
yeah,
the commercials
and
weren't even that good.
Yeah,
yeah, Bob Dylan's Chrysler commercial was pretty good. Which
I
was
thought it was interesting. There was the commercial before that for whatever with that had Bob Dylan's song in it. It was like "I Want You" by Bob Dylan, and the
oh,
next
yeah,
one
yeah, it
had
was
Bob Dylan
and the next
in person.
One was actually
I was like,
Bob
oh
Dylan,
God,
so.
You're hurting for money, huh?
He's double
guy?
Dipping.
Well, I was a little actually disturbed by that because I'm an old fart and. There used to be a time when you'd never see Bob Dylan at the Super Bowl or, you know,
right?
Like.
No, it was ridiculous. I was surprised that that was the person who was going to be doing it. I was like, that sounds like Bob Dylan. Oh, it's his face.
I think like I think selling out is just no longer a thing. There's no such thing as selling out. There's really just like whatever. It's all, you know, if Bob Dylan is doing Super Bowl ads, I think no one
yeah,
cares.
Yeah, I think selling out and
there
like,
used to be a time when people would be like, you fucking sell out. Yeah, what are you doing, man? Doing a commercial?
I mean, I think people were saying that about Bob Dylan, but you can't really. I mean, Bob Dylan does what Bob Dylan wants.
Yeah, and
he's the boss.
And, you know, Eminem did. See, what happened is I think
well,
with younger
well, no
artists.
No one cares what Eminem does.
But see, I think
like
that. But I think in this case, younger artists really paved the way for the older artists because younger artists said, hey, we can do all these commercials and still have credibility, which is like a lot of rappers. They didn't really give a shit from the get go.
Right.
They went ahead and went in every fucking stupid commercial.
Right.
And then the old guy said, hey, let's get in on this too. And so now everyone
well,
does it.
Hip hop's been in advertising since like
oh,
day one.
For sure.
Like,
that's why I mean, I felt like when Eminem did the commercial, it was really cool and it was a great portrait of the city of Detroit, but it wasn't like, oh, this is groundbreaking to see Eminem on TV. With Bob Dylan, it's like I haven't seen Bob Dylan as a person anywhere.
What happened to you?
I think that was a cherry that I ate. There's some dry cherry on my nose.
Okay.
Here. But yeah, but remember back in the day,
mystery fruit off
it was
my
Adidas and, you know, Run DMC coming right out and they would endorse products and everyone would sing about beer or liquor or whatever.
I guess I just grew up in the aftermath of the '70s and, you know, like punk and stuff. And,
right.
Look at this. The Monkees.
Yeah.
Everybody slammed them. Said they're the worst band in the world because they had studio musicians play on their albums.
Yeah.
And like now. Nobody plays on their
yeah,
own.
Yeah, nobody
like,
plays right? on like, their own. Right, yeah.
Miley Cyrus couldn't play anything.
Right. And
but,
even the Stones, like, used multiple drummers. Like, they didn't even,
I mean,
you know, like, they didn't even use
if she could, like, shoot a ping pong ball out of her vag and hit a keyboard, maybe she could play an instrument.
The old guard has come around, so I think that's fine. I have no problem with that, with them
Was
doing commercials
any,
anymore. Yeah,
there weren't even any of the movies were exciting.
Yeah,
there
was Transformers. What, was this the fourth one?
Oh, God knows.
I know,
it's the
but
one they filmed here last summer.
Yeah, they film them all here.
But they filmed.
Michael Bay loves
they just,
to just watch
they just
Blown
filmed
Up Detroit.
It. Mark they, Wahlberg was hanging out at Bookies.
Well, they
it
they,
was kind of the set that they built downtown.
Yeah,
was,
they built like a Hong Kong set or something.
The sad part about Detroit is that right in the middle of downtown Detroit, you can block off three blocks.
Yeah.
And just build a set.
Interrupt nothing.
Right. It's completely ridiculous.
So, yeah, I thought this, the Super Bowl was a big bore, and I liked the NFL season a lot. But geez, the Broncos for being as good as they were, and they beat the shit out of everybody,
they choked.
And like touchdown records and yardage records from Peyton Manning, and they get to the Super Bowl and just nothing.
They later.
I'm going to make a statement right now, Corey.
Uh-oh.
You tell me if I'm wrong
Uh-oh.
On this. Would on that day, would the Detroit Lions, the 2013 Detroit Lions, have beaten the Broncos the way that they played on Super Bowl Sunday?
No, because the Lions would choke.
No, the Lions would have.
It
the Lions.
Choke off.
The Lions would have beaten. The Broncos.
You think so?
Day. I think so.
Right. My favorite part of the Super Bowl was the disappointed look on Peyton Manning's face.
Well,
every
he
couple
had
of minutes.
Mean gump face.
It was just like he could not have looked more disgusted for
he
somebody
does.
Who, in all the interviews after, oh no, I'm not embarrassed. Embarrassed isn't the word. There are a lot of hardworking men. You looked embarrassed
oh, and,
up
and
there.
Eli looked sad. They kept cutting to him and he looked sad.
Why even do that? I wouldn't want to look at
yeah,
my sister's face if
I
was.
Yeah, if you're getting your ass kicked, how are you supposed to feel in like the most watched event Right. Like most watched televised event of all time, and you just get crushed.
The agony of defeat.
Well, yeah. the most watched part in their defense was Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars.
That was the most watched television event of all time.
Yeah, because that's when everyone turned it off.
Speaking of selling out, the Chili Peppers didn't even plug in.
Well, that's an old thing where nobody plays. And then, although there is controversy, well, they've admitted it. Flea came out and said, yeah, we pre-recorded our track, and then Anthony sang the vocals live.
Right.
And because they don't want you to fuck up. They don't want you to. But the national anthem isn't sung live either at the Super Bowl.
It's not?
No. The national anthem is pre-recorded. Oh, my God.
Samantha Rager's heart is breaking as we speak. That gasp was the sound.
You know, it's great.
Samantha
is like the only innocent comedian. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, you know,
to an extent.
I mean, I'm just saying.
How is she innocent?
No. There's just still.
How am I not innocent?
She had shingles this year. She's a 25 year old in the body of somebody.
I know.
86.
She's been through more than most of us have ever had to endure. Yeah. I mean, your tale is like a World War One, like German village bride.
She's the little match girl of comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like one tragedy after another, but. You were completely sweet and like, they recorded the national anthem?
That
was totally just actually honest, innocent.
You're telling
response.
Me the Tooth Fairy isn't real?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's controversy about when Bruce Springsteen did the Super Bowl, if they played live, because they've always given interviews and said that they played live. Hmm. Although the guys from the Super Bowl say everybody pre-records their stuff.
But
so
they're worried you're going to screw up. So
they're worried you're going to screw up. Yeah,
the E Street
go off
Band
topic.
Or U2.
McCartney's
or
done it. The Rolling Stones.
I think the Chili
have
Peppers have got a good 25 years under their belt.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't think they're going to fuck up. They're playing a right, you know, whatever.
But I guess Prince pre-recorded his stuff, too. I mean,
maybe they're scared that somebody else is going to run up on stage and.
Oh yeah.
Well, they're worried that something's not going to work. I mean, that's the reason they say is, you know, we only have 5 minutes to set up the halftime show. So to get guitars to sound right and to balance all the levels and stuff for the music is very difficult to do at that time, and it is. It took me an hour to set up the studio for Joel Radio. I mean, for God's sakes. Imagine if this was the Super Bowl halftime show.
My God.
This would be the best Super Bowl halftime show ever.
Yes.
The four of us and a cat sleeping on a bed. I mean, that's...
Speak up, Sam.
How much fun...
You're like a silent laugher. You're killing me with
it's
this.
It's a tough room.
I know she's laughing, but she's like laughing
that's
quietly.
Okay.
It's sad.
I can turn her mic.
All right, there you go.
That's loud. There we go.
We want to hear Sam's laugh.
We do want to hear Sam. Yeah.
All right, so that's about my Super Bowl thoughts.
Did you see the 9/11 truther that crashed the internet?
Yeah, I did see that.
I missed that. No? I was so disappointed.
Who was speaking when he interrupted?
It was
one of the Seahawks.
Defensive players.
Yeah.
And guy ran up and was like, investigate 9/11. It was an entire job. Ran up and grabbed the mic.
That's beautiful.
I'm so sad I missed that.
Yeah.
Well, that was something you only saw on the internet because I don't think that was really... It might have been on NFL Network or something.
Yeah,
time,
I'm sure somebody had a feed of the interviews
ESPN
going on.
News or something.
It was
not during the game proper. It was afterwards. And Alex Jones, I saw, he put that on his website. We're finally getting our message out there.
Well,
he had to claim victory, Alex Jones. That genius.
I like how fans now are like, I'm not going to expose myself anymore. I'm just going to expose the truth.
Yes.
Well, that's true. Guys used to just run out
rip
naked.
Rip their dicks out.
Yeah, and that would be the thing. And now they don't
even know. The 70s were just chock-a-block of like people whipping their wangs
out. Stripping or Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
You guys are too young.
Yeah, you're too young. There would be this woman named Morgana the Kissing Bandit who had these surgically enhanced double...
She had some Fs.
Like quadruple F breasts.
Yeah.
And her shtick is she would just run out and give the pitcher a kiss during a baseball game. That was the whole thing.
She'd let him loose.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't nude,
she was braless in a tight shirt, right. And they'd do their own
display. She would just run out, and everyone knew what the deal was, so they would just let her do it. She'd go out there, and usually the pitcher would kind of play hard to get for a minute, and then she'd lay a big, you know, she was a big Dolly Parton wannabe kind of looking broad.
Okay.
And she'd lay a big kiss on the pitcher, and then, like, the umpire or a security guy would come and just grab her by the arm and take her off the field, and that was the whole thing. But now guys run out on the field drunk, and they get, like, gang-tackled by the players and stuff when guys run out to NFL things. So it's just totally different now.
Here she is.
And that's an awful
Sam.
Double
you have Morgana?
Standard
There's
right
Morgana
there.
The Kissing Bandit. There she
and
is.
And there were, like, you Biggins. Should look up, and if you want, I reckon, there's Morgana, there were Morgana clones.
There were knockoff Morgana.
Those in their Dixie cups. Oh. And there were all kinds of, yeah, like, there were all kinds
See,
of...
See, I think that's an awful double standard, because when, what's his face, Prince Fielder goes and takes some nachos
yeah.
from a player, nobody
from a
tackles
fan.
Him.
Yeah, from a fan, yeah.
Or from a player, well, yeah, or if the player takes one from a fan, it's fine.
Yeah, but see,
if
now...
If a fan jumps on the field,
if Morgana,
shit hits the
if
fan.
If Morgana runs out to the field, they're gonna bring her down. They're going to take her down to Chinatown.
They're going to tase her.
They're going to knock her out.
I'm surprised her boobs didn't do that themselves.
Why? But I mean, but
well, that,
she
they
could
injure a guy.
And now, but you know, now it also used to be that on television, the reason a lot of it stopped is because they used to just show whatever was happening. As if it was like a live news event.
Can you imagine?
And now, but now the leagues have said that they cannot broadcast fans on the field anymore in the United States. That they have to cut away.
Oh, they can't show.
Yeah, them. They have an agreement with the leagues to cut away, and that cuts down on fans. Remember the year? I think it was. I think it might have been. Maybe the was it the last opening day at Tiger Stadium where people went crazy? Do you remember that, Corey? Where like 20 guys ran out on the field, like every inning, a different guy was running
right.
out, and they were all loaded, and then like.
The only
that,
time
the league started cracking down for
we're
that.
Talking a lot of sports. For
we are. Well, anyway. We're going to get to stuff.
Who was the guy that was the impersonator?
It's not that you're talking a lot of sports. It's that you're talking sports before we remember.
I know.
Yeah, well, that's okay. There's no...
I went to baseball games at Tiger Stadium, but I was 7.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Who was the imposter, the guy that would come out and
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look that guy up. Yeah.
He was great.
But he would go out and take the team portrait with the Yankees or something. And
well, his first thing is Barry Bremen.
Okay.
This is great. This is the late 70s. He stole an outfit for, like, the All-Star game. He managed to somehow get his hands on, like, a player uniform and the warm-ups.
Right.
Awesome.
And he sat on the bench.
Yeah.
And just went out and started doing, like, warm-up shoot-arounds, like, at the All-Star game. And then it became his thing. And he would just, like...
And he would crash other stuff. He crashed
good thing
stuff.
No one watches the All-Star game.
But he would get on the field. Like, he'd be out, like, left field.
He was in...
Like, totally, like, in an Astros uniform, being like, come on, ready, I'm ready to play.
He was in that documentary, Antics Roadshow, that Banksy made.
They made it. There was a 30 for 30 on him,
I think he was in that, or it might have been his European equivalent who would run out and everything. But
his European.
Yeah, there were a couple, there were a couple guys.
His non-union European
equivalent. Yeah, there would be guys that would run out on that, too. So, yeah, back in the day, you could do that, but now everyone's afraid of that, and you can't have any fun at sports games anymore. That's it. You just sit in your stands, and you pay.
No fun.
And they say attendance is down at stadiums, and that's why.
And the Lions are raising their ticket prices, which is totally
Lions,
sons of bitches.
What the Lions are doing is now they're going to different pricing for different games. So when the Lions are playing on Thanksgiving, it's going to be more expensive.
Right.
Or when they're playing a big divisional game, it's going to be more expensive.
Well,
and then when, like, you know, the Tennessee Titans come to town.
Some losses are worth more than others.
Cheaper, yeah. So there you go. That's exactly how they look at it. All right, so...
all right, let's get into something we all
let's get into
enjoy.
Comedy, because this... And that's
comedy.
Why we brought girls here today. Not just because they're cute, Corey. No. Because this is about women in comedy. Jerry Seinfeld. Very controversial.
This is so true.
And when I say very controversial, I mean this one asshole on Gawker. That's what I mean by controversial.
Right.
By the way, I have to find this writer's name. Because
Kyle Chayka. Yes.
What a dick.
Well, we invited you ladies here for our Black History Month roundtable.
That's a later show.
We're so glad you could be here.
She's a quarter black.
A quarter black?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow.
White chocolate.
Why don't I play?
25% cacao.
I didn't even realize we were dealing with that, but that's okay. We'll accept that.
For years, I've threatened to have a Black History Month roundtable.
Yes.
And
we've had one black guy in here on his own.
No, we had Chill.
But never
on his
two.
Own will.
It's hard to keep an eye on him when there's more than one. We have
Mike
to make
Lundy,
sure.
Chill. I'm trying to remember who else. Anyway. All right.
We have to make sure they don't steal anything. So it's a limit of one.
We have to count our black friends now. That's what we have to do.
Well, Chill was our hood correspondent for a long time.
Well, I'm going to know.
And, oh, yeah. He's really good with the hood.
And Mike Lundy would. Dave
Bell, our From the Streets reporter.
Right.
No.
Well, didn't I have Mike? Who was the guy? Was it Chill that did we would have him do like a Winter Olympics roundup and stuff?
Yeah, we did.
It was every black sport, every white sport. We would have him cover
curling.
We would have him cover curling in the America's Cup for us.
Yeah,
that was a good bit.
World
God,
Cup.
We used to have bits. What the hell happened to us?
I used to put effort in.
Not anymore.
I'm still.
All right, well, why don't
now
I play?
A cat
no, I'm excited that Sam's a quarter black.
I did not know that. We're learning things every all show.
You count as like a quarter of a black friend for me. And that's sweet. That's bumping my numbers.
The 3/5 compromise. Isn't a thing anymore, Corey.
Yes, you're my Dred Scott of friends.
Yeah.
And that's excellent.
Let me play the Seinfeld clip and then we'll talk about it. How's that? Is that
all right?
That
yeah. So this is
he's gonna count the rest of his black friends while this clip is going.
Yeah, I'm gonna tab them all up.
This is from an interview he did for BuzzFeed, which now BuzzFeed's interview is now on CBS This Morning. That's how the networks aren't all trying anymore. They're giving time to BuzzFeed on CBS This Morning. So anyway, we'll talk. Okay, let's get into this. BuzzFeed business editor Peter Loria interviewing Jerry Seinfeld on diversity in comedy. Let's listen to this.
But you take a look over here, Peter. What do you see? A lot of whiteies. What's going on here? This really pisses me off. Really pisses me off.
Well, that's okay.
Go ahead.
But you made a comment on the Tina Fey episode that I thought was interesting that I'd like to get your thoughts on a little bit more. You said you were talking to her and you said something about the female comedians. It's a struggle for them to balance their feminine projections with their comedic goals.
Yes.
And in the context of comedy, not gender diverse, I just want to know what you meant by that.
Well, I'm kind of curious what it's like to be a woman in comedy as opposed to a man. There is a little bit of a difference, and I thought that might be an interesting thing to discuss from her perspective. She's so successful at it, and I was just wondering how she looked at it, if she even thought about it. And she kind of gave me the answer, which is, yeah, you do have to think about that, but, you know, it's just another thing to think about.
I didn't realize this interview sucked this bad. This is the first time.
All right, here's where
things about comedians and cars in the beginning. The first 10 I did, I think, were all white males. And people were writing all about that, which
that's part of the reason why I asked. People had tweeted at me when I said I'm interviewing with Jerry Seinfeld. Oh, okay, ask him about their gender diversity on this show.
Yeah, I mean, it's people think it's the census or something. I mean, this has got to represent the actual pie chart of America. Who cares? It's just funny, you know. Funny is the world that I live in. You're funny, I'm interested. You're not funny, I'm not interested. Okay. And I have no interest in gender or race or anything like that. But everyone else is kind of with their little calculating. Is this the exact right mix? You know, I think that's to me, it's anti-comedy. It's anti-comedy.
Well, speaking of what also was anti-comedy was that interview. Yeah. So let me sort of.
Well, what's the deal?
So basically, now listen, here's the deal.
I think it is a good point.
Well, I think, first of all, I think Seinfeld, what he's saying, I think is right, but the way he's saying it, he does kind of sound a little bit like an ass. I'm not trying to defend this writer who wrote, let me just say what he wrote. I'll quote the guy from Gawker because he quotes Jerry, and then he says, he's saying, you know, he has the quote, and he says, he seems to suggest any comedian who is not a white male is also not funny, though he's also likely fed up with the amount of bad comedy he's been forced to sit through his career.
That's not even remotely close to what he's saying.
Yeah. But then let me read the next thing. He says, which is too bad because Seinfeld is downplaying the work of everyone from Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby to Aziz Ansari, Mindy Kaling, and Eddie Huang, who are all in various stages.
Who?
Exactly. Who are all in various stages. He was just searching for an Asian, and I guess he found him. Who are all in various stages of their own sitcoms that might just turn out to be the next Seinfeld. So he really has a problem with Seinfeld. You know,
my bet would be on the fact that this Gawker writer is not a stand-up comedian himself.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
Because this is writing from to me, that sounds like a very outsider perspective on I can tell you as a female stand-up comedian that I going to open mics, at least open mics in Detroit suburbs, they are probably 90% to 95% white men.
Yep.
Yeah, about. I wouldn't say. I would probably maybe take it to 80%.
It depends on the show.
You go to summon it, you know. It's
more
black
guys. Well, that's why I say the suburbs, because if you go to a Detroit open mic, it's a lot of black men, but that's fine.
Women is generally...
It works for you. A lot of black men.
Women is probably one in 15, one in 20.
I wish we had a visual on this right now. The face.
But yeah, for white and black, I think Detroit, we have more ethnic diversity than a lot of other places.
Well, I mean, there's a couple
as far as the women,
white people.
Not so much
in
the Asians.
Black.
Yeah, that's true.
There's Gary.
Okay, that's day one. Gary.
Amit is Indian.
There's an Indian guy. And there used to be, what was the one guy's name who...
Mike Evitz.
Mike Evitz,
Korean.
Yeah.
He's starting to do comedy again.
Okay, he's Korean,
okay,
Mike
okay,
Evitz.
All right.
So that's ethnic. But
that's exactly what we're doing right now is exactly what Jerry was talking about.
Right.
Is like you can count them on your head. Like
exactly.
The three-fifths
we're
compromise
not,
for your black friends.
We're not.
We are counting out, instead of counting them as, hey, these are my funny friends, this is my... ethnic funny friends just fulfill my diversity quota.
This goes to show what massive assholes Gawker writers usually are.
Yeah, well,
I mean, they put articles up about how Chobani yogurt is the shit and is the shitty kind of yogurt. Yeah. You got to get, like, repeatedly. I've seen like four articles about how Chobani
Faye
sucks.
Is much better.
Faye is the better yogurt. Right,
but you have to remember they make money.
Yogurt snobbery.
The I'm Gawker people make money off of clicks. Yeah. So their opinions need to be somewhat controversial. If they just put up this clip of Seinfeld, no one's going to care. But when you sort of write this hot copy,
I thought this article was hot buttered garbage.
Well, it's funny because I saw the article and I didn't even click it and read it earlier. Yeah. I was like,
I think most people agree with you, and I think most people. But you know, Seinfeld. Look, Seinfeld's not the picture of diversity. Okay, he just isn't.
No.
And he never will be. But you know, we've had lots of successful comedians in America that aren't white guys. We've had shows like In Living Color. We've had lots of black sitcoms that have been on for years and years and years. I mean, how long have some of these, like, how long was Living Single on? Probably 87 fucking years. That thing's been on since World War I, right? That show couldn't go away. Malcolm and Eddie must have run for 30, you know, how many?
Malcolm and Eddie.
And Martin.
Amen. And yeah, Martin and all these shows, which are really only watched by black people for the most part.
Sure.
And they're all successful.
Tyler Perry's Meet the Browns.
Tyler Perry's got 50 shows. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't sit there and say, like, you know.
Well, I just think
it's not.
Jerry, yeah, you're right.
But I'm saying if Seinfeld said, I'm going to get ethnic, I'm going to get diverse right now, he's going to run through half a dozen guys and then go back to interviewing, you know, Nick Offerman or something.
Well, it's very similar right? to what I mean, just happened on SNL, too. I mean, there's white men that came on, and then everybody was like, yo, there has not been a single black woman on here since you lost the last one.
Yeah, so they really caved, and they said, okay, we're going to go.
Okay, we'll get one right now, but
it
had to take.
Exactly this much.
The first
so
week,
far.
They put her on. A
she
lot.
Was in. She was in a lot of things in that first week.
The first
but
week,
I can tell you that. But at the same time,
zero. Just say zero, Corey.
She did zilch.
It's nothing.
It's that instead of we're going to pick up as many funny people as possible. They picked up a bunch of funny white guys, and you know, there's some funny, not just white guys that could have come on the show last season.
But the thing with SNL,
have you done a little improv?
Yeah,
minimally.
Okay, how many black women are in improv?
Not many that I've met.
And I would imagine that goes across. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a sprinkling. There'll be a little bit of a handful here and there. But it's not like all black women are rushing out and going, I want to do some freeze tag.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do.
Right. But it didn't
we're going to call
like,
out favorite genre of movies.
Yeah.
Like,
but it does feel like SNL is pulling less and less from the full improv. I mean, a lot of the people that they pulled this year were from, they had popular YouTube clips.
Is that where they're, yeah.
Yeah, well, or like the guy who was in the AT&T commercials.
Beck Bennett, yeah.
They're pulling from people that had viral videos. There are plenty of non-white man viral video stars.
Andy Samberg is the biggest success they've had late. Well, Fallon, I guess, too. But
you know what? Ultimately, though, the audience for these things you think there's no black people on the improv stage? Go to an improv club and look in the audience. There's no black people. I mean, going to see improv is like the whitest of things you could possibly go to in your entire life.
They sell Faye yogurt.
Okay.
At improv.
Yeah.
I don't go to improv, so I don't really know.
Exactly. But it is.
And that's because you're a comic, baby. That's right.
Well, we don't go to improv. Me and Corey don't go. We ain't going.
That's what it is.
We don't play that improv.
We don't. Do you mess around with that improv, bitches?
I tried to take a couple classes, but I wasn't. I always hugged the back line because I'm not.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, you're so dynamic and you're jumping into the mic now. I can see how you'd run up there
she
and
got
go
a doggy paddle into the mic.
All eyes on me.
Well, exactly it's that. You know, it's one of those things that it's just, you know, I don't think that Seinfeld, you know, I mean, just to accuse Seinfeld, all comedy isn't Seinfeld. All comedy
absolutely.
Is not comedians in cars getting coffee on Crackle, for fuck's sake. It's not, you know,
it's
you
also,
can't sit there and,
you also know it's
define comedy by that.
But the problem is this guy doesn't know, like, he doesn't do the minorest research.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Mario Joyner has been Seinfeld's opener for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's one of his good friends.
Right.
And he was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Sure.
Right.
Last time I checked, Mario Joyner's a black guy.
Sure.
Chris Rock was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Last time I checked, not a Caucasian.
Right.
And, like, it's the numbers game. To me, like, when every sitcom has this thing now where, well, Martin had one white guy.
Okay.
And there's always, like, one white guy and his name's, like, Zebrahead or something. Like, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always, like, one white guy.
One Michael Rappaport-esque guy on every show.
Right, there's a black universe, and there's one dumb white guy in it.
Yeah.
And it's the same goes now. There's well now the New Girl has two black eyes, so they've really New Girl, blown the mold.
New Girl
right
has
out.
Really yeah right. they that
they got two tokens
yeah
and Prince. They had Prince.
Prince.
Yeah, I didn't even see the... Did you even watch the Prince?
Oh, it was magical. I loved
was
it so much.
You're being sarcastic.
No. Prince made her pancakes, and I was like, I'm done. This episode is magic.
I can see you, I can see you going back into that moment right now. You're thinking,
oh, it was so great.
Oh, I wish the his purple badness would make me some cakes.
He was great. It was I thought it was a really good guest star role. But what I thought was really interesting in there is actually the Jerry Seinfeld question that he asked Tina Fey about balancing femininity with comedy, because I think that is a thing that does exist. And I saw some outrage over that between people on the internet who don't understand stand-up comedy or the circumstances surrounding it, where I would say being a female stand-up comedian, 30% of the time I'm being sexually harassed by strangers.
Oh,
wow,
well, that's...
But how different is that from being a barista?
But it's not that different. But I can
how
tell
much
you,
of your day yeah, really. As a barista is getting sexually
but
harassed?
But I can tell you that as a comedian, it's being in the minority of 10 to 15% women at any given show.
Yeah.
It is there is a method to knowing what are the funny parts of what you're doing. And some people think that women that are swearing too much, that's not funny because you're a girl. Mm-hmm. Or thinking that if your jokes are too dark, that's not funny because you're a girl. And there's that balance of the expectations of, as a female that is going to be funny, what is going to be actually funny coming out of a woman's mouth? Because there are times where people say, you know, your joke, like I've had men tell me, oh, your jokes are funny. Even if you were a guy, those jokes would be funny. So you're really funny. But since you're a girl, they're like extra funny.
What I really like about Samantha is there's like you have a really weird kind of vulnerability on stage that like guys come out and it's all like a big wall of macho, like, hey, well, there's some guys that are kind of insecure,
yeah.
But like you can have a different approach. I think your stuff is like comes from a different energy.
Yeah, I've complained to Lauren about that because some people absolutely hate it. They've come up to me and told me that it's like it's way too dark.
You are dark. You on stage, you go to some dark and you're so cuddly and sweet, and then you go up on stage and it's like aborted fetuses and stuff.
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Well, I think in the case of women that there's a certain expectation of what a woman's going to do on stage, and I think it is can be to the woman's advantage to play into that and actually get noticed and sort of stand out from a sea of fat white guys on a show. I mean, I think that's an advantage that women have that guys don't have. But again, I agree. Like when you do try to be alternative or something like Samantha does, then you really look at her and go, not only is she a woman, well, that's why, you know, that's if they don't like it, then they're going, not only did they not like it because it's you, but they didn't like it because it's a woman.
And I've like tainted, like,
yeah,
not no
yeah,
pun intended,
like,
but like
they shouldn't put that girl on there. Oh my god!
Well, you also do crazy, weird. You're like crawl up on tables and stuff.
Yeah,
and
you
like,
do kneel for entire sets.
Kneel
I've seen you do that.
Yeah,
yeah. Explain that. Where does that come from?
I use that to make me more comfortable. Like I'm terrified of the audience half the time, and that's like my icebreaker a little bit because like it makes them like slightly more.
I'm gonna kneel. That's the icebreaker.
They got to come down to your level. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. I mean, there is a theory in comedy that, you know, being loud and, you know, like if the audience is into you and they say you have to be loud to get their attention, sometimes if you're more quiet, it'll force them to listen. Or I guess in your case, if you do something unusual like kneel, then they'll be like, oh, okay, now we're going to watch this because this is going to be something different. Maybe that can work.
Even if it just gets the attention at first.
Yeah.
You know?
I developed over, you know, maybe this was probably always my style originally. A little bit of shouting was always in my act.
Absolutely.
I developed, though, an all-muscle style because of year. I know, look at me. I know. I'm
raised at Club Bart's comedy night.
Well, I mean, I am such a beefcake. There's a muscle frame. I'm like a Terminator.
But you, no.
I
but
have a muscular frame with a layer of fat
no
over
inside
it.
Voice.
Right.
But your style was developed to get their attention. And you will holler and
well that's from
yell.
years of doing Highland, Michigan, and, and doing Chillicothe,
right.
Ohio, and you know stuff where like they're like we got a petting zoo that's exciting in this town, and you know you go down to fucking Deer Knuckle, Arkansas, and you have to shout over the idiots.
You kind of do,
and that I've just stayed with that because it kind of I don't want
yeah no that's fine
I never get like hecklers I just don't even usually engage with because I'm just going to like I don't know if you guys ever you guys only see me at open mics.
Yeah, well my style of like my not necessarily, you know, not the way obviously I do this show or when I'm an MC, but when I'm actually doing a long set, my style is very self-deprecating and sort of monotone and quiet and that, yeah, that doesn't work in front of rednecks. You're completely right.
You got
to
power
through
it.
So sometimes you do have to just yell and scream and get attention that way.
But, you know, what do you guys think? I mean, as also as old guys, we remember when the only women in comedy were like Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
And Joan Rivers.
Oh, Phyllis Diller.
Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, it was Lily Tomlin. It was a very small.
There was no such thing as a sexy female comic.
Right. Yeah. But
it was Joan Rivers, and then maybe Paula Poundstone.
Well, you'd
lesbians.
You had your Rita Rudner.
Good niche comedians, and I think that when I see a comedian who's like I've gone to open mics and seen some first timer young ladies trying to do the Lisa Lampanelli. Oh yeah, I'm gonna fuck all the dicks, and it's. That's already been done, and at that point, it just seems tired. And I think that there is, you need to have your unique person that you are show on stage, and if that unique person that you are happens to be attractive, then good for you. But you can't rest on that laurel. You're not going to get anywhere unless you're actually funny with that.
I think there's at least more of a range though for what we kind of allow from female comics because it used to be just like. Phyllis Diller. You had to be like weird and strange.
Well, you were.
And now it's like there's April Macy and like Amy Schumer
well,
and all these
kind women,
of girls that
the
are,
women, right. like Joan Rivers and that, were basically women doing men's acts in a sense, or they were doing a style. Which was
I never thought Joan Rivers was doing a man's act.
No, but wasn't she doing like a Don Rickles kind of show, though, in a sense?
Yeah, she was.
So,
well, that was the.
But they were coming out of the Catskill sort of tradition, and, you know, it was nightclubs, and you went up and you told kind of one liners. And there was a lot of, you know, it was a lot of drum rolls and you know.
No, I can see a defined development in just in the last 5 years of myself doing comedy, the differences in the way different women approach it. I mean, the women who I've seen stick around have done more of the, and I've always said this, there are two kinds of women comedians, the women that are actually funny and the women that are funny but they alienate part of their audience. And the women who tend to alienate the audience are the ones who don't really find as much, I feel, long-term success. Like, they can bring their family to shows and they can do shows in specific places. And, I mean, there are outliers to that, people that have a really good target audience. But if you have somebody who... I remember really specifically this one open mic in Ann Arbor where this girl, all of her jokes were just terrible, and it was just all about being a slut, and it was stupid, and they weren't really funny. It was just for the sake of, hey, I'm trying to shock you with saying these things. Mm-hmm. And I saw her do maybe 3 shows and then kind of fade out because it wasn't something that was relatable, and she was missing a lot of the key components.
But enough about Ellen DeGeneres. I mean,
But whatever, there's a lot of key components to knowing how to make
it. I've seen women do, like women doing guy stuff. I've seen women, like I saw a girl routine do a set about getting finger banged. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that's working from any perspective. You know, I was
the fingers probably enjoyed it.
Well, there are two sides to that, because then some of those girls, they'll keep talking about it because maybe guys want to have sex with them, and so they'll book them for things.
Yeah.
And not necessarily maybe not their reason, and maybe they don't even connect that, but there is that whole subculture.
They'll book them for a run in Wisconsin with one single bed.
Yeah, have you guys come across that in comedy yet? Because that's the famous thing.
Beautiful.
This I was talking to this girl doing comedy, and she was like, well, I'm going on the road with this guy. And this guy kind of has a reputation for being a skunk anyway. And he was like, yeah, we're going.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't Corey, because
he's a
this guy was working in North Dakota or something.
He goes, booker in another state.
Well, this guy is going. I love, you know. Listen, every time I try to say I'm not going to say who this guy
is, I didn't say who it was.
Corey goes ahead and just says who he is. So from here on out, just don't say anything.
I didn't say who it was. Did I say?
So the guy is his guy has this reputation, and he says to this girl, and this girl was pretty new to comedy, and I was talking to her. She's like, well, I'm going on the road with this guy, and you know, it's one of these things where. You know, he's letting me open for him, and I guess we have to share a hotel room because there's only the comics only get one room. Okay, That's the story he tells her. Hmm. And I'm like, I've been on the road for, I don't know, 10 years at this point when I'm talking to this woman. And I go, I've gone on the road. Never once has anyone ever said to me, you have to sleep in the same room with the other comedian. It's never happened to me right. ever. And all of a sudden, this Wait. Thing just happens to be like, oh, we have to share a room.
Joel did not get sexually harassed. I am shocked by this.
Have I been? I told the story about the famous comedian that
there
I
was
thought
one,
came
there
on.
There was
to
a,
me. A male comedian.
A male.
I told
oh,
that.
Oh God,
it happens.
I really? Told that to Pauly Shore. I told that story on the air.
Oh my, really?
Yeah.
I forgot.
You forgot the Pauly Shore.
I listened to your How ass. Could, I listened
no,
to you
he
every
blocked
week.
It, out. It was so traumatic to
Pauly Shore.
That
I was Pauly Shore came to the out. Gathering of the Juggalos. And now, granted, I'm
Would you want to remember that?
Well, listen.
Would
I'll
you want that image in your mind?
Let me tell the story, and then really. Corey can give his. I mean, look, I'm not saying I got sexually harassed, but whatever. Pauly Shore grabbed me, put his hand around me in a, you know, what I. Like, if I did that to Lauren right now, she would smack me across the face, but Pauly Shore didn't.
Yep.
Me. Yeah, she would. No, she would. So, but I mean, it was like.
True story, guys.
He put his hand, like, around my waist and sort of grabbed me and said. He said something like, I like your outfit, and then, like, reached around me and, like, rubbed on me, on my midsection.
Good times.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Pauly Shore did that to me. Now, Pauly Shore is one of those guys who's kind of always on a little bit.
Yeah.
He's always kind of acting weird.
Now,
he's
Sam,
not,
that's what we call a bad touch.
He's not, yeah, but he's not, like, you know what I mean? Like, some comics, you talk to him off stage, and they're just normal people. But Pauly Shore is one of those guys who kind of acts a little weird all the time.
I got to say, that's the benefit of being ugly. I really have never
Well,
I,
Corey,
this.
I'm dressed as Upchuck the Clown, so I mean, should I just take that as a complete goof?
Oh, yes.
Or is it,
yes.
Or is it is a thing where
no,
he
I think
was actually,
might be
he's
a little,
got a clown thing.
Pauly actually is
not
a homo.
To get,
and,
not to get litigious here, but
no,
Pauly might
know.
Be bi-curious.
I don't know, I don't know what Pauly is. We hear stories about he's banging every Playboy model.
Whatever
stuff,
it means to be so, like strictly attract the clowns, I'm pretty
well,
sure
yeah, that's
what
Pauly Shore is. He could have a fetish for clowns.
He's
he
a clown
could.
Sexual.
He may have that, and
he wants to show you his.
Well,
he's a clown sexual.
I've met girls who have enjoyed that, but not you know, Pauly Shore. That was different. That was a tough take on that.
Oh, are you not, yeah. for it's not even here?
What's that? The horn? No, yeah. The horn is packed up.
Yeah. Damn it!
But no, I feel like sometimes I try to train Sam in because there have been plenty of times where I've met guys at shows and they've said, "Oh, let me give you my phone number so we can write together."
Yeah, write together.
Well,
I
want
know,
to write.
I never
with
wanted
me.
To write with anybody.
Right.
There was a guy that, well, maybe he's around somewhere.
Who's that?
Yeah, well, we're not
say,
naming
okay.
names.
Yeah, okay, no, go ahead if you don't right. want to name his name.
His name's Rob Little.
Yeah,
and Rob would always want to have writing sessions,
yeah,
and then
and
you'd go write with him and stuff that you would end up in his act.
Well, yeah.
And that's when I kind of went, I'm good without...
Rob, who is a friend, and I like Rob, but Rob, you know, Rob's writing sessions back then were, hey, let's write together, and you would go and write him jokes. That was the writing session. It wasn't like I got anything out of it.
No, he's gone on and done well for
himself.
Yeah,
and Rob does fine. But no, but I'm guessing...
That was early on.
I'm guessing these girls have been invited to more writing sessions than I have.
I have been invited to several writing sessions.
There was one time
have you
we
been
were...
invited to a writing session, Sam?
I always think that there's writing that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's not. There's
it
no writing.
It never is.
Or no writing.
Or if somebody asks her to play Scrabble and really wants to make out with her, that's
sure.
what every time somebody wants to play
Uh-oh.
Scrabble.
Oh,
with
somebody
her.
Played Scrabble with her.
He tried.
Corey likes Scrabble. I'm
Shut
trying.
It down.
I'm trying to add. I'm trying to add up all the no. She has turned. By the way, Sam is now three shades of red.
I'm
going to
tell you
here.
Right now. I am.
I want to know who
of all the things.
Don't you worry about.
I want to know who
he's
tried
not
to get
going to hit on you.
Who tried to get triple world score off you? That's what I want to know, Sam.
I just want to say of
names.
Of the two gentlemen in this room.
Yes.
One of us has dated multiple open micers.
Yeah.
And one of us has not. So I just want the record to state.
Well, okay. What does that mean?
I'm just want
all
the
right,
record to be
you.
Clear.
Actually, I did. You know what I did? Actually, okay. Here's the story. There is a girl that she asked me to help her write. There's a girl who asked me to help her write. This was years ago. Corey met her. I think she did like one open mic, and she said to me, hey, I need help writing. Can I call you, and will you help me? And I said, yeah. And I met her, and we wrote some jokes, and then we made out after. But that was all on her doing. And then we dated for a couple months. But that was... That was one girl.
Well, that was
But I didn't use a pickup line of, hey, let me.
But see,
right. she wanted me to write jokes.
If it works.
And by the way, she never used any of the jokes
right.
that I wrote for. In fact, I found a printout of her act that I wrote a few days ago.
Really?
When I was cleaning up in the studio here.
You wrote her act?
Would you want? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I threw it
we'll
away.
I think we'll be okay.
You guys have never met this girl. She
yeah, you would never meet this girl. Yeah, she got rid of me
and left. I think that the lack of game is pretty great, and I love it. I now use it now whenever I see a guy hitting on Sam, and I can see in Sam's eyes that she has no idea, I just look at her and I say, Scrabble. And then I go on with what I'm doing.
To me, the whole that's kind of cheesy, like, if you're just going to ask her out, or just say, hey, do you want to get coffee or something?
Yeah.
It's like,
sure, yeah.
Do you want to come to my open mic?
Hey, we've got a shared interest.
Do you want to come do my podcast? It's in my house. And
that's never worked.
No.
But yeah. I mean, I think that is a thing for women that you have to deal with, too. You have to sort of navigate the whole thing of, you know,
the
these guys.
The business relationships
especially when you're new,
that are trying to have the personal relationship.
Yeah, and when you're new, guys are going to say things to you, and you might go, oh, this is normal. I guess, I bet all the guys play Scrabble together. And I, for once, have never been asked to play. I never have once been asked to play Scrabble by any comedian anywhere. I've never heard. Corey, has any guy ever asked you to play fucking Scrabble? A guy's asked me to play darts. Right, that was the one. I mean, I don't even remember a pool. I've shot pool with somebody.
I'm trying to think of some of the gayest things people have asked me to do.
But no one's ever asked me to play Scrabble. And I'm guessing this wasn't even after the show. This was probably some other night.
No, it was after the show.
Oh, it was after the show, Scrabble night.
Oh
God, what a loser!
I got it. That's a really
pathetic.
Well,
thing.
It's real macho.
Scrabble is
like
a good game, though. I love Scrabble.
So you went and played Scrabble, obviously. So
she tried.
You tried.
She wanted to play Scrabble. She was like,
you got over there.
I got
and
a good triple
like,
word score in my head.
And then there was no.
Yeah, how many points is the word panties?
No, there wasn't actual Scrabble at first, and then like after he's like, well, I guess do you want to play Scrabble? I was like, yeah. Why not?
So you did play Scrabble?
You did play Scrabble. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Isn't he have the nice professional Scrabble board?
Mm-hmm.
We're totally outing this guy, whoever he is.
I don't know who this is.
No, you know what's good?
There's been a couple people, though. Scrabble.
This guy knows.
Common.
If he hears this, he'll know.
Scrabble is a pretty common pickup line. I've had different people.
Yeah.
So ever since Words with Friends took off.
Oh, yeah.
People are all about, oh, well, you like playing it on the phone with me. Well, that is the segue, too. I've had people that I haven't talked to in years start playing Words with Friends with me and then start hitting on me on the chat on Words with
Friends. Pretty much every interaction on the internet is like hitting on somebody.
It's a gateway.
It all feels like it. It's all kind of feels
weird. Well, if you're spelling out dirty words on Words with Friends and then you send me a Words with Friends chat asking if I wanted to go to a show with you.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, so these would be like, cock.
Yeah.
Be like spelling out, really? That's a very
well.
Summary.
I
am learning so many moves. This is great.
She's right about the internet thing because I had a girl recently say I should get on Snapchat and I told her I'm not into that because I was like, that's all about like showing your dick to people and I'm not going to do that. And I said I don't want to get on Snapchat. So then one night I guess I was bored and I thought I was in the mood to show my dick. So I logged on to I signed up for Snapchat.
Did you?
But this is what happened. I signed in, and what it does is it goes through your phone, and it shows you, like, everybody who's in your phone, if they have a Snapchat, you get their username. And what I found out was that people that I know that I would never Snapchat with had, like, weird, like, kind of anonymous
names.
Perhaps even sexy.
Their sex names.
Snapchat
there,
names,
really?
And it freaked me out, so I deleted it.
You know what?
No, and I'm not kidding.
You'll have to log back in so I can see.
Why don't you sign up for Snapchat and it'll go through your contacts?
Oh yeah,
and
it'll
tell
get
you
all the filthy Snapchats.
Well, because I have.
I do what?
But you go through there. But I mean, you're talking like
a titty here.
There might be a comedian from St. Louis who you worked with.
Do you want me
once.
To be a liar and be like, yeah, I don't want to see titties?
No, it's not that. Corey, it's like guys. Corey, you're going to get guys who are, you know, Big Sausage 927. Mm. And you're going to see that and you're like, oh, I worked with that guy once in Buffalo. And who knew that the guy's number is.
I am never.
It's
ever
going to creep
shocked.
You out, and you're going to get rid of it.
I'm actually surprised that we've only known one guy who got busted for sex offending terms of comedy.
Yeah.
I'd be. You know what I mean?
Is there only one guy?
Maybe more than one.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, but
only
a
couple.
Right.
We know one for sure that got busted. And it's like there's so many comics are weird, right? You know this?
Comics are weird. You're right.
You're weird, Samantha. Don't lie to me.
But
this cat has lost
his
mind.
Well, that's what he does. He's crazy.
Thank you.
He climbs around on my chair. So anyway, yeah. So I think you're right on the internet. That thing right there. Get off of that.
Well, it just feels like
get
it,
off of that.
Even like a totally just casual like whatever
right.
you feel. You want to not feel like you're.
Well, if you don't play it off as something weird. I mean, like you can say hello to someone. But, like, I had a guy that I'd never met who saw me on someone else's Facebook, and he had some mutual comedian friends with me.
Yeah.
Adds me on Facebook, and then once in a while would send me a random Facebook chat like, hey, I hope your Valentine's Day is as beautiful as you.
Okay.
And I've never met you in person. And then a few months later, he's like, hey, how's your night going?
Yeah.
Hey, what are you going to be for Halloween? I know what I'm going to be.
Wow.
And then one day he said, hey, how's it going? And I'd opened it, so I knew he knew I read it, because I hate that Facebook does that
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I said, oh, I'm good. Hope you're, how's your day going? And then he responded. That's the only interaction I've ever had with him. Then a few weeks later at 2 in the morning, I get a poem written for me talking about how he wants me to be his girlfriend and all of this other shit. I've never met this person in real life.
Well... I, you know, on one hand, I'm thinking this is terrible. This is horrible that my colleagues are being treated this way.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I'm thinking if I was abroad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, it would be the easiest thing.
I would be so happy.
Yes. The modern age has made it easier than ever.
The effort I had to
for
the number of Tori Amos records I had to sit through.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of fucking, you know, romantic comedy starring Hugh Grant I've had to sit through.
Absolutely.
The shit I've had to do.
Yeah.
The star charts I've had.
Awesome.
I've had to have my... How many times I've had my star chart done before I ended my whole...
Yeah.
Look, I'm just saying. I would be slightly honored. Unless it was... unless it was a guy in clown... Unless it was a guy in clown makeup.
Lauren is not amused.
But this happens to you all the time is what you're saying, Hot Pants. You're just saying... This is all Lauren being like, they all want me. That's what you're saying.
It's
yeah,
but I think Lauren's point is that even if... okay... Let's take your assumption that everyone wants Lauren. We'll go with that.
That's not
but
true.
But even if everyone didn't want you, you would still get a million guys hitting on you just for the fact that it's possible to do it.
I feel like with stand-up comedians, it's such a shallow pool that we are, as girls stand-up comedians, so much more approachable than girls that they don't see every couple of days.
Sure.
So then that is a shared element.
It's your office.
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah, that's true. It is an
and
office.
I don't think it's a. I don't think I'm attractive enough to get all the boys.
Right.
They don't bring all the boys to the yard with this milkshake.
Well,
I remember when Nikki Colling started doing stand-up.
Okay. They're trying to figure out who gets hit on more.
Oh,
guys want to compare?
We'll do those numbers.
Me and Corey will be the judge.
All right.
If you want to compare.
Do you guys know Nikki? Do you know Nikki?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's adorable.
I remember when Nikki Colling started.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like maybe her seeing her at like Joey's. And it was one of her, you know, second or third, fourth open mic. There was a line of guys.
Yeah.
And we all went out for drinks afterwards, and like everybody was like trying to get to talk to Nikki.
It becomes a hurricane.
And then she ended up
with the girl in the eye of the hurricane.
And the guy she ended up marrying was like the quietest, nicest guy there. Like every other swinging dick was like, what's up, boobies? And like she ended up marrying Andy, who's like a super kind of a shy, nice guy.
Right.
And he won the prize there.
Well, but that's not representative of anything.
No, but I just she was kind of
the girl doesn't marry the guy that hangs out in the back, even if it does happen in that case. You can't say that that's the
rule. No, but he was another comic. That,
I know,
you
but
know,
that was you're moved by this?
Oh, you didn't know that story.
That's all right.
Now neither of them do comedy anymore. I don't think. So
well, it's okay, Samantha, because Russ Brown is single, so we can make your dream come true.
Do you know
we can put that together on a future Joel Radio. But anyway, here's the point.
Oh, we should do. You know, we should do former guest dating.
Oh, do you want to do a dating game?
Yeah, we'll get.
We'll put Sam and a panel.
Do we have a guy under 50 that's been on the show?
We had Kirk Wilcox on,
he's in L.A.
Chillian's
under
50. Chillian's
under
50. We're supposed to play bingo together.
Doesn't Chill have a baby mama or something?
I don't know what Chill has. I'm not sure what he's
You're supposed to play bingo?
Yeah.
With Chill?
So are you, Lauren.
Bingo is the black man Scrabble.
Bingo.
I don't know if you're aware of this.
Well, that's how you know. That's how
bingo'd.
You know. Listen, you know he's hitting on you.
Bingo that bitch on Friday night.
When a black
guy. At the old folks home.
That's Lauren's first comedy album, Bingo That Bitch.
When you know. When a black guy invites you to bingo.
Sunday night at the church hall.
It's not. It's, you know, you're getting hit on.
Bingo?
Chill's not going to bingo without you, just for the record. Just so you guys know, he's not hanging
Chill
out there
Chill does not
by
bingo
himself.
By himself.
Yeah,
he's saying.
Bingo Long's Traveling All-Stars there, I think he's going to... That's a reference for Only Joel.
That's an old 70s reference. Yeah.
Is there a heterosexual male that's ever gone to bingo on his own?
No.
Under 70?
I went once.
If you're like 65 and up, go to bingo.
I went to bingo.
That's where the talent's at. I'm saying you're going to pull some Betty White tail
out of
there.
Me and my friend were drinking one night, and we pulled into a bingo hall just for shits and giggles. And we were the youngest people. First of all, we weren't there promptly, so it was a big scene that we walked in late. And then all the old ladies just stared at us because we were drunk. And we didn't have bingo markers. And it was like this like assembly line of women having to hand us bingo markers because we didn't have any.
That's wonderful.
And like it was, we just didn't, you know, we were like 21
like a
years old.
Friday.
And
what's a good fish fry for some action?
I love fish fries. Those are delicious.
Sam should be dating a man over 50 is what she's trying to say. The last bingo I went to was at a church festival. And it was during the day, and I went with my entire, like, my sister and a bunch of cousins, and they thought we were all under 18, and they didn't want to let us in.
No.
They ID'd me at the bingo tent.
Actually, I think a fish fry is your... I think older men have cars that have heat.
Yeah.
So that might be good for you.
Sam will go...
Sam is marrying
Sam's
up.
Interested in going anywhere where there's utilities and running water.
A sugar daddy.
She's fine with that. I'll go to that.
Utilities.
They've got cable.
Yeah.
They've got... You know,
there's an ice cream social. She'll go to that. She'll go to your
stuff in their refrigerator,
spaghetti dinner, any of those things, right?
I got hit on by this like hotel owner before, on the west side. Actually, everyone who has come in contact with him has been hit on by him.
Like Grand Rapids or something. Mm-hmm. That far? Okay.
She doesn't. She may want to. I know who she's talking about.
When
so
she
maybe
says
she
the
wants,
West Side.
Maybe she wants to keep things quiet, Corey.
All right. All right.
Or he no longer owns it.
Okay. I don't even.
Oh,
know.
I know which gig you're talking.
I've heard the story about this guy too. Yeah. From somebody else.
So
like he owns an hotel and he does an open mic and he goes. My open mic comes with a hotel room. That's how desperate this guy is. You thought the guy with,
that's why you bring a boy.
North Dakota with one hotel room. This is the new version of that, Corey. This is you come do my open mic, I actually give you a hotel room.
What's great is that I don't do a lot of these open mics. And so I'm
Corey, you would never get invited because you're
I'm
and
an
they,
old,
he
fat
doesn't,
white guy.
He doesn't want you to stay in his hotel room.
That is a true story, though. One bed.
Yeah, one bed.
We only booked one bed.
You can come with me, but we only have one bed.
Now you're doing an impression. Thank you. Great. Don't want me to say his name.
Come on, Corey.
610-552-0746. Please tell us your sexual harassment stories.
Yeah, you can call
Leave a message.
By the way, I haven't updated the douchebag hotline for 2014.
No,
it's the same. It's the first of all, because I know people call the douchebag hotline and just hang up. Because I think they think they're going to hear us or something when you call it. It's just an answering machine that has no message, outgoing message.
Well, answering machine.
Because that costs $3 a month or something.
People that can leave messages will play on the
show. It's a voicemail.
Call in and leave
If you want to be on the show, you can call in. But now the douchebag hotline is now the Papa John,
Kanye West. Yeah.
The Papa John, Kanye West douchebag hotline.
There you go.
So those were the assholes of the year for 2013.
Yeah,
I picked Papa John.
Hard hitting.
And Corey, Corey picked Kanye West.
Kanye's the worst.
And if you need to know why, you can go listen to the Assholes of the Year podcast.
I actually listened back
and it was fantastic, wasn't it?
I actually listened back to the Assholes of the Year. I don't usually listen to the show.
That's the best show.
But I did listen back to
that. No offense to this show. That show was great.
What's good is that
this show, the legacy is yet to be written for this show.
But we taped that one a few weeks ago. It's like about a month old now when we taped it.
Yeah.
And so I forget what I say.
Yeah.
So it's kind of,
and then you listen
and you're like, damn, I am hilarious.
I'm the funniest guy.
You pat yourself on the back really hard. You're God, Corey, you look in the mirror, you do your affirmations.
I try to listen to it when some of my friends are on other people's podcasts, I listen to them.
Sure.
And I usually think the guys doing the podcast suck. not the guests.
Corey's like, I should listen to hear if they're talking about me. Which is what people do with this show.
No. I mean, if Sam's on a show or Bill Bouchard was on a show the other day.
Yeah,
you listen to it. If somebody I know is on a show, sometimes I might listen to it. Because there's a lot of guys who are doing podcasts now.
Yeah.
You're on the original Michigan comedy podcast.
Well, this is the original comedy podcast anywhere in the world, really.
As far as we can determine.
But, in fact, I will just say that it was a story came. I was told this through somebody else that there's one comedian who listens to our show. Now, I don't know if they enjoy it or not. I would hope they do, whoever you are. But the whole purpose of listening to the show was to tell all the other comedians what we say about them on this show.
That's a good point.
That as just a way of outing us to everyone else, which I thought was really weird. Because we really don't talk about a lot of other people. I guess
Do they take shifts every week? Is it a
I don't know.
Person?
I think it's one.
You drew the short straw. No, you have to listen to Corey and Joel's podcast to make sure that they don't talk any shit.
It's one insane person who apparently has a vendetta against us.
That's too bad.
And wages it that way.
When we first started doing podcasting,
yeah,
we did probably two a week and they were about 35 minutes.
They were about an hour, maybe an hour.
45.
Yeah.
Now they're about 3 days
now,
long.
Now we do like a 3-hour tour.
Yeah, because we do it maybe
Lauren's
twice
like,
a month.
Gonna walk back in the snow.
Yeah, Lauren.
Get out of here.
By the way, we rescued Lauren from the snow. She was buried up to her neck. Yeah.
Yes,
and we
I
dug
was.
Her out with shovels and dragged her over here. So
you guys are so kind.
Yes.
I hope you don't expect any Scrabble.
We care for
this.
Our guests. Yeah, there's no Scrabble. It's just a hot car. And,
maybe some Yahtzee.
Right.
Maybe some travel Yahtzee.
But speaking of that, can I do my big announcement?
Some Connect Four.
The show because I
big announcement.
Well, I didn't. You know, I've told Corey has kind of known about this for a few months.
No.
I think. What?
You've had big announcements before.
Oh, shut up! This is a big announcement. Fuck you. Here's the big announcement. This is Corey's last show, and Samantha Rager is the new co-host.
Oh, there you go.
There's the big announcement right there. No, this is the actual announcement of the, that. I Corey's known about this because I've sort of bounced this off you. And I could only announce this now because I had to go, don't, whatever you do, don't do that. Okay, stop that. Let me make my announcement, you dummy. The Joel of Radio, now we talk about this, and even tonight here with Sam and Lauren here.
Lauren.
I know.
Wham Tramick.
Wham Tramick's making.
I sometimes just call her Skates.
When
I forget her name.
Skates.
What we always talk about what goes on at open mics on the show. It's been a topic of conversation going back for 9 years. We always tell people.
Sure.
Then like tonight, I said a comedian went up and talked about getting finger banged on stage. And all these kind of wacky stories happen. And we talk about this guy was the worst thing I ever saw. This guy was fantastic. This was great. And we have all these memories. I hosted an open mic for over 10 years in Detroit.
I wish Kent Tucker would stop talking about getting finger banged.
Well, if I stop finger banging him, he might. But, folks. I recently started hosting a new open mic show, which is at O'Mara's in Berkeley, which I think you're familiar with, at least. You ladies have probably been on there as well in the past. And I hosted the first one last week, and as part of that, I took some of my new recording equipment and made a splendid multiple microphone recording of the show.
Splendid.
I wanted to make sure it would sound good for the audience.
Word.
And so what is going to happen is the next O'Mara's Comedy Night, which is on February 27th, is going to be recorded and posted right here on Joel Radio.
What?
And when I say that, that's true. So what it's going to be is it's not going to be where me and Corey have done this in the past where we go out and we do like a live show where we stand on stage and we have people do stand-up and then we interview them. This is just going to be the open mic. There's not going to be any interviews. There's not going to be any show other than I'm going to be hosting an open mic. I will have people on there doing open mic. I am not even going out of my way to pick necessarily good people to be on this open mic.
God. Wow.
It is going to be.
Great.
Well,
it sounds like a great idea.
Well, here's the thing. I want to give people.
I hope a guy tries to hijack the microphone again.
Yes.
That one time
this
that you
is,
were
well,
hosting.
That's, and that's,
wait, was that. Wait,
yeah.
I, there was one
that
with
was
me.
At, that
yes.
was at O'Mara's.
That
yeah.
One.
So listen. This is, and at O'Mara's, I almost punched a guy in the face one night at O'Mara's.
It was
O'Mara's.
My favorite.
You were there for that,
I
Corey.
Loved it
so everything, the point is this. Everything that happens on the open mic is going to be on the show. I only have 2 hours to do this show, so I have to keep everyone to 7 minutes, and we have to keep it moving. So that's what you're going to hear. You're going to come on. You're going to go to your RSS feed for Joel Radio, and what you're going to have in there is a live show. It's not even going to be a numbered episode of Joel Radio. It'll just be called, like, Live from O'Mara's Comedy Night or something, and you'll click it, and you'll hear me host the show, and you'll hear the comedy. Some of you may not like it. That's okay. You don't have to listen. But if you want to hear what an open mic is like, this is the purest way that I think I can give that to you. So that will be coming up here. It's going to be recorded live on February 27th at O'Mara's.
Okay.
So now I'm also, if anyone, Corey, if you want to be part of this, then you would have to come and perform at this and do your set and whatever.
How
you
could
to
I
do.
Get on, well, on podcasting?
Well, no, well, my point is that it's not going to be like a show where you and I are hosting it. It's going to be me doing it. And then you would come and do a set.
We used to do live shows. And Howard Stern just experienced this.
Yeah.
When you actually talk to somebody, the audience turns off.
Yeah, the interview segments never work on those. So we did that multiple times. In fact, we're probably the first guys that ever did a live comedy show as a podcast.
Well, I like Robo. Wait, hold on. I like Robo Lauren. When you, there you go. What are you? Look at that. Okay. See, she's very.
No one can see her face. She's got her headphones.
She pulled her
over
headphones like halfway over.
Talk about Howard Stern.
She looks like RoboCop over there. Stern did his birthday show and people talked through the interviews.
Yeah, when he was interviewing his guests, people talked over it, and that's what happens. So this is going to be a pure open mic experience.
Yeah.
On your iPod, and you will hear the whole thing. And again, I'm miking the audience. It's a direct line. I could play the one from the other night, but there's no point in doing that on the show right now because I didn't get people's permission. But I will be playing the whole thing, and if Corey, if you want to be part of it, and Sam, of course, I throw the invite out to you and Lauren as well. If you want to be part of the first open mic on podcasting on Joel Radio, that will be on February 27th.
Well, there you go.
And it's one of the things that I don't expect all comedians to be. I think there are comedians that are going to run to this, that are going to go, oh, my God, I got to be on this. This is going to be the greatest thing ever. And then I think there's other people who probably should be a little skeptical of wanting to be on this. Because, again, I'm not editing anything. If you bomb, it's going out. You're going to bomb. I mean, the audience is mic'd. If you're not getting laughs, there'll be dead silence. I'm not fixing anything. I'm going to do some minor cleanup as far as the levels go. But that's it. A pure open mic, as if you were sitting there. That's what you're going to get.
Wow.
How do you feel about that, Lauren? Any thoughts?
I think it's going to be hilarious.
Well, it could be. I mean,
I think I've done so many open mics where I've had family or friends come, and the people that they remember are the people that is the only time I've ever seen them that guy just did impressions that weren't good for 7 minutes.
Like the guy that ran up and grabbed the mic from me. Oh, God,
he was hilarious.
Hit in the corner.
That guy was the weirdest dude.
Me and Corey have legendary one-time guys like McMike, who we can't even...
There was a guy who called himself Buttcake at Comedy Castle 2 years ago, and my family still asks if Buttcake's going to be there. When Buttcake's jokes didn't land, he made monkey noises. Wow. Like, it was like punchline, and then he just jumped around the stage, and that was the only way he got laughs.
There's a lot of great college kids who do kid open mics.
Yeah.
Who you'll never see again. They get up one time.
They get up once. They get drunk. And
there was a guy in Ann Arbor. There was a team. They were more than once. They probably did it.
No, those guys. Yeah, those guys performed other places.
But they got up. One of their bits is they got up and one guy wore a pink. One guy started telling a story, and the other guy was wearing a pink bunny suit and started crying.
Yeah.
And that was their comedy bit.
That was their comedy bit.
Huh. He just wore a furry pink bunny suit.
Do you remember the guy who would tell?
Which somebody that was a date for you, right, Sam?
Yeah.
The guy was like. I'm just going to cry in my bunny suit.
Do you remember the guy, Corey, that he came to Club Bart and he just he would tell jokes, and when nobody laughed, he would pull a rolled up newspaper out of his back pocket and hit himself in the head 20 times. And he did that every time a joke bombed, which means he did it for like his whole set. Do you remember that guy?
Oh, God,
I have pictures of that guy. I found pictures of that. So it's just weird stuff like that's going to happen. And rather than us just telling these stories later, you guys can hear these. And you'll hear some good comics, too, because I would hope that, you know, good comics like Corey or some of our friends that have been on the show in the past will do their sets. And if you don't want to do your set, I understand that. Some people don't want to give it away. I myself am going to have the challenge, if I'm going to do this once a month, of actually coming up with new material every month.
Why buy the milk cow if you can get the milk for free?
Yeah.
For Scrabble.
So, So anyway, that's what's going on starting February 27th.
You can get the cow for a couple of White Castles.
If you want to come out, I'll put all the instructions up on joelradio.net where people can find that. And, of course, if you're our Facebook friend, I'll have that up there as well. And
Sam, what's the weirdest thing you've seen in an open mic? What's the weirdest thing you've seen somebody do?
I would say go up to the and do his entire set, nothing but a thong.
Oh, I saw that guy.
Thong guy, huh?
I was there for that night. That was
really.
I have a picture of him on my phone.
Okay,
and I went back afterwards backstage. He like walked, you know, he like put his clothes back on. He like walked up to me and like thought I was going to say something nice to him, and I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've seen ever do in comedy.
See, that's the thing too. I may have to have because
risk
a lot
shakers,
of
man.
A lot of open mic is visual. I'm going to have to probably have some still photos at least.
I think
that would be. Obliged that
I'm not petting that poison walker.
Nah, he's all right. that's the big announcement. I hope everyone's excited for it. And like I said, I don't think it's going to affect the number of shows that we do as Joel Radio, as us sitting
regular
here
show.
Doing a regular show. It's not going to be a replacement for those shows. It will be more of an addition.
Well, come out and support Omaris.
Yeah, come out and support it anyway. It's fun, and you get to hang out with
me. It's all new.
And Corey, and it's
it's all the hits without the parody
rap. You know, we did the first one And like it, we got a big snowstorm like 30 minutes before the show. It just started pouring snow out of the sky, and it was just like, well, I guess no one's showing up. And we ended up having like 20 people in the audience, and the place seats, I don't know, the place seats over 100. So we really do need some people to come out. It'll be a good time. And you get to see and hear the best and worst of open mic all live in your face and on your iPod. That's what I'm doing. I'm giving the world that. That is my gift to the world, Corey.
There was a guy that was named Loopy the Pissed Off Dog.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw him.
And this was an open micer. And he would come up. He came up the he came to the castle a few times. Maybe he only came to the castle once because Mark was like, get this out of here.
Yeah, he throws.
But
it
I
right
think
out.
He showed up at Bart's once or twice.
Right.
He came in dressed like Goofy. He awesome. Had a vest and like a turtleneck
okay.
and big white gloves, and he had a dog nose.
Yeah.
And I think he had ears.
Was he wearing pants?
No, just he was wearing leather chaps with his cock just flapping in the breeze, just dangling sausage meat. And he came up and he would just, in his act, would be like, my wife's the real bitch. I kicked her in the pussy. Gork, dork. And like that was his act. Gorsh. And it was just like, you ever taken a shit on top of your pants? And like, it was just like, and then he'd do it as Goofy.
Yeah.
And it was amazingly awful.
Do you remember the guy who was, I forget the guy's name, but I remember his puppet was Sergeant Shecky. Do you remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
And that guy was around for a little while. He did more than one
Sergeant
show,
Shecky.
But he was this guy, and he had like a real, you know, marionette. What do you call it? What a ventriloquist dummy? Yeah.
One of the last times I hosted the open mic at the castle, there was a lady with puppets.
Yeah, that lady, that black lady with the puppets, right?
Yes.
She's bad too. Yeah,
there's
so,
a new puppet lady.
Yeah, there's a lady. There's a puppet lady.
I watched her walking. I was walking down the street to get to the castle, and I saw a woman pulling two suitcases behind her. And I thought to myself, as soon as I saw her, like
and,
from a block away, I was like, "There's going to be puppets this show."
And when she comes on, she demands that she needs like a stool and a table
and she
and, like,
needs
some,
the MC to
some other
set,
chair yeah and it's
her.
Like a whole giant thing for like your 6 minutes of just horrible puppetry.
She's
there's
such
a whole
sweetheart.
Setup
she's a nice
well,
person.
I mean, come on,
just because you're a nice person doesn't mean that it's
yeah,
not
it doesn't
really
mean,
awkward to
yeah,
set up all of your
it's,
tables.
It's too much work
when Sam's having me set up the flaming hoop.
Yeah,
for her shows. It's
yeah,
really.
Are we doing that?
I think it's a little. Louder.
I would like you to do that, O'Mara, Sam. I would like you to come and do that. Yeah.
It's hot. It's
yeah, weird. Absolutely. I would bet it's hot. I would bet it's very hot.
Maybe if you had a flaming
get
loop
too close
in your
to
car,
the hoop. Yeah, that's,
that would be better.
Yeah, yeah. We should just travel with the flaming hoop. It could keep her warm at all times.
I remember a guy, and I don't know if this was an open mic or like a cattle call audition, but his act was he had album covers, like old album covers that he cut the mouth
out okay.
of, and he would just talk through the mouth.
Okay. That's actually the kind of, I want to see that. Where's that guy?
Oh, there's so many bad acts I've seen.
Well, there was a guy when I went to Atlanta, I did a club called The Punchline, which is the big club down there. And I was doing, I guess it was a guest spot, which like they had three guest spots that they do on Thursday before the feature and the headliner. Actually, it might have not even been a feature. It might have just been an MC and then these three slots in the headliner. But anyway, I got on this show because I was from out of town and I called the guy at a time. But it was like, you know, all of Atlanta's comedy, like, slaves away for these three spots, right? So I was on there.
Hey, let's calm down on the slaves.
No, I didn't mean it like that. No.
All right, let's.
No. I love.
Back off.
I love Atlanta. It is
on the home of the middle class black.
Yeah, Atlanta is home.
It.
I call Atlanta the home of the middle class black, and I stand by that. But listen, so I'm in Atlanta. And I get my spot, and then one of the other guys that got picked was a guy, and he had a cardboard box, and on the cardboard box he had a handle, and what he would do is he would and like the box opened up, so what he would do is he would turn the handle, and then every time the handle stopped, the door swung open, and it was a different impression. So the guy would turn the handle, the box would open, it would be an impression, and then when the first impression bombed, then the thing went down, he turned the crank, the thing opened, and it was another impression.
You'd be like,
this went on for the worst 7 minutes of my entire life. This guy was the worst. And my brother, you know, who lives down there, had brought like his whole office down to see me. So I had like 50 people supporting me, you know. And then like everyone saw, you know, so then this guy goes up and it's the worst thing you ever see. And one of the funny things, the guy walks off stage and he's holding his box and he goes, so how was it? And I go, it was all right. You know, anyway. But that was the big hit with all of the 50 people that came to support me, even though they loved me and thought I was funny. Everyone couldn't stop talking about the guy with the box on his head who was turning a big crank. That was the best of. See, I would love to.
There's oh, so
the
way, many dirty jokes in there that I just let go.
And then he showed up on a Last Comic Standing audition. By the way,
oh really?
Yeah, that's the punchline. The guy with the box was on a Last Comic Standing audition.
Who
so
was
I
the
said.
Guy in the gorilla suit that was on Last Comic Standing?
The guy in the gorilla suit.
I enjoyed his work.
They liked that, didn't they? Like the guy in the gorilla
the
suit.
The guy in the gorilla suit made it to like three
they,
rounds.
They almost put him on the show and went like, "We can't you put okay? you on. You're in a gorilla heart. Suit."
The gorilla
I
suit.
I just hate. Reality gimmick? TV shows oh, like that.
Well, you know, but that's it's
coming back.
It's people
it's
putting themselves
new.
Out there, though.
It's going to be much better. They're not going to have. They're not even going to have a competition.
Gonna have that round,
they're just
yeah.
going to have booked agent acts that are going to be on there. So.
Yeah, they're yeah. not going to have a round of guys with boxes on their heads.
That's so
and
sad.
Yeah, so you're not going to see any.
What will happen? You guys never even saw Erika Lynn, did you?
Oh, well, we did.
You know who
oh,
Erika okay. Lynn is? Yes.
Well, Erika Lynn is the world's greatest. Preeminent transvestite magician that I'm aware of other than David Copperfield.
I love that you said magician because there's so many other hats that Erica wears literally and
well,
figurative.
That's true. Bras.
Well, Erica, remember Erica would host a quiz show at Club
oh,
Bart?
Right.
She would come up and do a quiz show just in the middle of the open mic and it would be she would need a lineup of chairs and people would sit down and she would and Erika Lynn has this thing where it's like really bad dentures, I think, and it's like a kind of a it kind of talks like this or something. It's a bit like Tootsie. It's sort of like this,
yeah.
And it would be like, so what is the longest river in the world? Is it A, the Mississippi, B, the Nile, or C, the Danube?
Yeah.
And it would be like, and like the whole audience is there to see open mic, and they're all staring at this weirdo in a dress. Who looks like he can dunk a basketball. It's not a feminine woman. You know what I mean?
Or, well, Nick Mike was the guy that was
yeah.
so drunk. He was this old guy that came up with,
yeah, and then that guy.
He was blitzed out of his mind and
yeah.
then went up and made out with Erika Lynn.
No, he tried to hit on her and put
yeah.
her coat
oh,
on
God.
Her. I don't think
oh.
he made out with her.
Oh.
But Erika Lynn was offended by him. But yeah, we've had that
she
at open
be.
Mic. So, I mean, you could see anything
she
at this show.
She deserved to be offended by him.
That's right.
So yeah, I want people wonderful. To come out on February 27th.
You've just this has just been the most amazing advertisement. For
well,
the
you know, but yeah, the thing is, you'll never see it, and maybe you'll see people being funny like Lauren,
maybe you'll
or
see
Sam or Corey yeah. if they decide to participate. It's entirely yeah. up to them, but they're welcome to come out, and you know, a lot of the guys that you hear on the show. Over the years, may come out and do sets. I might try.
Well,
there might be a few arms I'll try to twist to
sure.
get people to. Maybe I'll try to get like Steve Brewer to come out or Bill Bouchard or one of those.
It's always
guys.
It's but, good luck with that. It's
I know exactly. That's what I mean. Good luck.
I
with
can't
that.
Get Bill.
I know. I
to come
believe
out,
me.
To come out for a bagel.
Yeah, I know. But so anyway, that's going
right,
on.
Anything
February
else you
27th.
Want to agenda?
Well, we
here.
Still got to talk about Leno. It's the
oh,
last
Christ.
Leno.
Oh God!
And in fact, the last Leno. We're taping this right as the last Leno is about to start.
Did
in
you record
minutes.
It?
Yeah, I'm taping okay, it so good. We can watch it. But
oh, good.
Yeah, the last Leno. It's his last week, and you know we've been for 9 years. We've been nothing but enemies with Jay Leno.
Yeah,
we've done nothing. I mean, I put up a thing. I went back and looked at it when Leno went to 10. I put up the fake ad that said. New time, same asshole, the Jay Leno show. I made that up for the site.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually sad to see Jay Leno go.
Really?
And I say that for two reasons. Number one, I think America needs real shitty, hacky news of the day comedy. I think there needs to be an outlet for that, which is what his monologue
well,
is. And I also
I thought that was SNL.
No, well, SNL is different. SNL is more like, you know, we're going to sing and dance. That's always funny. Nothing funnier than that. Nothing funnier than a comedy show than like
can, the dancing
can,
Edos.
Can, no, can yeah. can the host monologue on SNL not be dancing once? Can they not sing or dance once? That's all I ask for. If you cannot sing or dance once, I might watch.
If you watch what's really
but until
weird,
then,
if you go watch old SNLs,
yeah.
the host monologues like two jokes and they go, "We got a great show."
Yeah, I know, but
they
now
don't do any,
but now
like,
it's a whole bit where people have to walk out and it's tired and lame.
Someone comes out on a trampoline.
But speaking of tired and lame, Leno, I's gone, and not only am I sad that I really do think that Middle
Samantha,
America
Jay
wants...
Leno is a popular television comedian. I know that you only... Television is when you close your eyes and think about My Little Pony. I know that's what television is to you.
But he... and I'm also sad that I think that much like, you know, Conan came on in 2009, lasted 7 months, and the NBC freaked out that it wasn't getting good ratings.
Oh.
And I see Jimmy Fallon coming in as a complete repeat of that. And I feel that Jimmy Fallon has no talent. At least none that I nothing that entertains me anyway. And I'm not really looking forward to the future with Jimmy Fallon. I think it's bad. I think it's an end of a tradition that's gone back to the 50s of, you know, the Tonight Show being this preeminent comedy show of the nation. And even though it's not what it used to be, I think that's completely gone now.
Well,
and
let's talk to let's talk to a couple of women who have many
Corey.
Who have
Corey,
years on
don't
us.
Give your opinion on Jimmy Fallon because you don't want to look like a dick in front of a couple cute girls. But you hate that fucking asshole just as much as I do.
But see,
so Troy's going to try to make you think that he's
I've given my opinion on
you
Fallon
have
many
given
times
your, yes, but now you're just not going to.
He's a horrible, horrible interviewer.
He's a horrible interviewer.
I hate his suck ass interviews where he says, "Hey, pal." He can't even interview his friends. Like, Tina Fey will come on and be like, "Oh, remember that one time we were in Aspen?" It's like the worst.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a nice person.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Whatever.
He is, though.
I'm sure he's a nice person. So Jay's a nice person.
When they filmed Whip It here, I actually had met Jimmy Fallon on the set of it. And he was super nice. I mean, he's just that enthusiastic in life where he was like, "Yeah, I went for a bike ride at 2 in the morning around Detroit night."
And
I was
Detroit's cool, man.
And I was like, "Don't do that."
Yeah, well,
next time, don't go on a bike ride through Detroit at 2 in the morning. Yeah. Are you insane? This is still Detroit.
Okay, but enthusiasm's not funny.
But no, I think that I haven't watched the show that much. I watch clips the next day because I sleep at night.
Okay.
You know, like
all
you
right,
do.
That's fine.
But I think that I've seen some really funny bits that they've done of like the, what's it called? The karaoke and weird shit. I love John Krasinski
singing,
so much.
Not funny. Okay.
I love John Krasinski more than I love... Your sense of humor. I'm sorry,
you like John Krasinski?
But it is. But it is. It is turning. Yeah. But that
is a big Gumpy Polak.
It is a. It is a thing where Jimmy Fallon is doing all of that SNL stuff. That is sort of becoming what he's known for: is the singing and the dancing and the impressions and all that stuff. That's
well, he's
sort
good
of
at
what
that.
He's known
that
for.
Is his best.
Well, and that's
skill.
Fine. But again, I just go: is that really what we want? Is that enough to like?
It's not what you want.
Carry a show? I mean, is that? Well, it's not what I want. But I think I speak for a lot of people, and I go: I don't think it's what people are going to want, and I don't think the show is going to do particularly well.
NBC,
and I think NBC has sort of gotten itself in the corner where they should have just kept Leno on. People want to watch Jimmy. No one's being stopped from watching Jimmy Fallon.
They wanted to for a younger audience. Yeah. They want it for a younger demo.
They always say the younger
And then
audience.
The older demo is going to hate him.
Right. That's the problem. But younger people aren't going to watch. That's the point, though, is younger people have a million things to do, and they
but
won't
I don't,
just watch.
But I don't know if more younger people will watch. More younger people may watch at the beginning, but I don't think that I think that it might alienate that older demographic, adult demographic.
I mean, it's just a disaster. I mean, by design, the 11:30 slot is a lot like 60 Minutes at 7 o'clock, okay? It's just a traditionally old people fucking shit. Mm. And you know why people go there? Because it's good. And as you get older, you realize, 60 Minutes is good. I'll sit down and watch this now. Whereas when you were a kid, you didn't give a fuck, but your dad wanted to watch it.
I actually was a weird kid that watched 60 Minutes.
Well, you are a weird kid, yes.
Of course you were.
You're still weird. But you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. It's one of those things that you sort of have to sort of leave
well, it's
there.
It's interesting because my family only ever watched Letterman. You can't take something to compare it to.
Right, but you can't take that and like turn it into something else now. You can't throw a switch and just go, "Okay, hey, by the way, now, young people, stop what you're doing and watch Jimmy Fallon." I don't think that works.
Well, that's the problem Conan has.
I'm making a prediction here and saying I think it's a failure.
I'm curious to see how it actually plays out with with the ratings numbers.
Yeah, that's what I don't see it
based on the amount of shares and stuff he gets online. He does have a following, and I'm sure that's why. It's because the virility of the videos of things that he does on the air. And so they're like, "Oh, well, if he gets this much afterward, maybe him doing this at an earlier time slot will be enough to bring him on there."
I disagree. I mean, I get that. That's what they're thinking. That's not going to happen.
So what happened with Leno? Was he, like, fired? Or
This time around, Leno says they asked him to remove him. The deal with Conan, and we've done this on the show for years, Conan O'Brien had in his contract, "I have to get the Tonight Show at a certain point, or else I'm not going to sign a contract to be on at 12:30. So they were afraid that Conan was going to get a competing show and basically, you know, leave the network, and they didn't want to lose him. With Jimmy Fallon, I think it was a deal where they said, "We want Jimmy and not Jay." So in this case, they're saying, "We actually want to try for this younger audience." And put Jimmy Fallon on. And Jay's been on for 21 years.
Lauren Michaels has booked that late night slot.
Yeah.
Or he started with Conan.
Well, yeah, with Conan he did, the 1230
and
then, slot.
And so he controls that. That's why Seth Meyers is going to come on after Jimmy Fallon.
Now, is
there's diversity in comedy.
Is Lorne Michaels still going to... Is Lorne Michaels producing the new Jimmy Fallon Tonight
yes.
Show?
So, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
God damn it. What the fuck are we going to do?
How do you feel about SNL?
I'm watching this development of the new
people. Yeah.
And there are some people who I think do have a lot of potential, but I think I don't really know where they're going with it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Where I think that there are a lot of, especially the new ladies on there, like Cecily is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I don't stay up that late usually, but I'll watch it the next day. And there are things where I'm like, this is, I mean, there have been some solid sketches.
Well, I think the problem with SNL now is that they used to have, when they had a new cast, it would be a new cast would come in and most of the people would leave. Now we just barely got Fred Armisen out of there. He's still hanging around the studio. Like, well, the old guys never leave.
The problem with SNL
around.
Is not a talent issue. They always have talented people. They always have people who can be funny. The problem is the material's not good. We've gone through this on the show too. You know, they don't give that stuff enough time to, you know, they write stuff in a week. They have to fill 90 minutes. It's just very hard to do. And so the show is
what up with that for the
show, but the show is better digested in small segments, and it's better to be remembered. Not for when it aired, but when 6 months later, when some clip is around, yeah. And
yeah,
I think that's helped their legacy, because I think when people watch it, I mean, even historically, you sort of go like, no one remembers. And you know, you have some of the early the DVD sets of the first seasons.
Oh yeah,
and those were all on Netflix, and I watched
High
a bunch
Roller.
Of them. And
I have like the first three seasons.
Yeah, before they put them on Netflix for nothing, and then you can watch them whenever you want. But. I believe we all got conned. I have all the Twilight Zones on the shelf
behind
you.
What's cool about the DVDs, though, is they're uncut.
Well, but that's the thing. When they're uncut, they're not good, though. That's the point. When they're uncut and you have to see all the garbage that nobody remembers, mm-hmm. you know, everyone remembers John Belushi doing, you know, cheeseburger, 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 but some of the other stuff was not funny at all, and yet it lives
on.
The show has never been spectacular
for 90 minutes at any point in its history.
Yeah.
There's always been bad stuff.
So I think the modern age helps it. I think the way that people consume television now is a help to Saturday Night Live rather than a hindrance.
Yeah. No, I think I can.
People
can
fast forward through it. People can, you know, record it later and watch it on Sunday. And so, you know, there's really no standard there that they can get away with being bad. Whereas I think Jimmy Fallon, I don't think you can. I don't think people watch The Tonight Show later. I don't think they watch clips of it. I think people watch it live. You know, they may turn it off after the first guest, or they may turn it off after the monologue, or they may turn it off after the bit, or whatever point you fade out on that.
It'll be interesting
to see if
his bits change, if he's still doing Wheel of Carpet Samples and like...
Well...
He's doing all the Twitter stuff.
But isn't
that,
don't we need something better? And who is that? Is that Jimmy Kimmel? Should Letterman stick around? Should Letterman hit the road?
What do you want, Chris Hardwick to get?
I don't know. You give me an option.
Chris Hardwick show is all just reading Twitter, too.
That's a lot of TV is reading Twitter.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, like the first thing that I thought this, I think I might have seen the first episode of SNL from this season. And I know a big part of their auditioning is like, what impressions can you do? But at one point during the episode, I remember thinking to myself, oh, so they ask them what impressions they could do and they just compiled them all.
Well, they'll do a sketch that's all just them doing impressions.
What are your
impressions?
It all... There's sadness. She just didn't
know. Sadness. She has one character, but she lives it 24/7.
But watching that, it was a very disjointed, just a bunch. It was clearly just a bunch of freaking impressions, put together so there
they'll
could
do
be
like
a
it's
bunch
the Grammys.
So
they
go,
yeah. Or they do a talk show and then there's a guest and then somebody walks out and then the next guy walks out and the next guy walks out, and that's fine. But
we've said a million times in the show, the one thing I hate the most, is that they do the Barry Gibb talk show and then Barry Gibb comes out.
Yeah, that's what they should stop doing.
When they got to bring the celebrity out that they're doing the impression of.
Well, you know what?
Just do the impression and don't, you know, it's so.
I'm always for more Barry Gibb, okay?
Well, the thing with the celebrities, though.
I like the Barry Gibb talk show concept because nobody ever did a Barry Gibb impression.
But the thing is, Corey, these shows, they want that moment when the audience goes, oh, yeah, oh my God, I can't believe so-and-so's here.
My mom didn't believe it
and
was
then,
Barry Gibb.
Right, see, you're not right. And they go for that. And then when they're showing on the Today Show the next morning or whenever, they're going to show that clip. They're going to talk over the dialogues. You're not even hearing whatever stupid jokes they wrote for Barry Gibb. But they're going to go, did you see Barry Gibb show up on SNL? And they're going to show the thing, and they're going to talk over it. And everyone's and they're going to get that buzz mm-hmm. of having these people on. That's why they do it. I mean, I would think good satire would never. You'd
and
never
Madonna
want,
with a grill.
You'd never want to have the people on, right? I mean, you never want to have the guy you're making fun of walk up on the show. How bad was it when Sarah Palin showed up on SNL?
It was weird.
Wasn't that the worst thing ever when they mm-hmm. thought they'd make something funny out of that? And Tina Fey, they'd been doing
Tina
that
Tina wouldn't
months.
Even look at her.
And Tina and her, they didn't even give them anything to do together. It was very odd.
No. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're doing.
You could see, like,
I would have liked for them to do
her.
That mirror game where they just moved one hand at the same time yes. as the other one.
But don't you feel that these other shows, these other
like the Prince
shows,
and the Pauper?
Come up, and we talked about
that's
this.
Another thing. If a guy asks you to play Prince and the Pauper, that's Samantha. Don't go. Don't fall for that. That's not a Scrabble invite. That's
it could be like
different.
A dialogue, like theater.
No practice. Yeah. Not that.
Honey, come back to my one-bedroom apartment. We're going to do some theater.
It's a line reading.
Yeah, that's not really going to work.
We're going to do some scenes from Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
Do you want to see that?
Because I
that
think these shows...
Foul.
Does. Thank you. Thank you. I tried to make that... I tried to make that sound foul. Thank you.
I think they should get rid of Lorne Michaels. I think the guy's bad for comedy.
He's old.
I think they should have... You look at this Amy Schumer show, or when I crawl around...
You know what's great? We're aging ages.
I know. But even I can't defend...
We're slipping out of every demo, and we're getting like, yeah, he's old farts.
But you know what? There's people that can do that better, and I think they deserve a shot. I think this Lorne Michaels doesn't know what he's doing, and somehow NBC's afraid to like take a chance. And look, I know they fired him and brought in people, and nobody liked the show, but there's been there's been more bad Lorne Michaels seasons than there was bad Gene Dumanian seasons. For now that
there was
we're
only
now that,
one bad
yeah
season
now that we're adding up seasons you can add up more you know what I'm saying
there,
so.
Here's the problem television has and I know this just from doing local TV television like has this weird it's a beast that desires youth and freshness and I always feel like when I go on TV I try to be funny and say like in the little 5 minutes I get but I feel like I'm breaking into somebody's house or something you know like I feel like. Like, they're letting the fat, bald guy come in and, like, make a joke.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm screwing up the whole project. Meanwhile, that show desperately needs someone to be funny.
But
television needs just funny people.
If you go on that show, the Fox 2 Morning Show here in Detroit, and try to be funny, you're, like, making them work. There's people that aren't going to go down that road with you, you know? Because Charlie Langton's a guy, like, when we sent MC Sampler on that show, or I don't know if we sent him, he got himself on there. Charlie Langton was the guy that was into it and thought
him?
It was... We didn't send him there. I gave him some direction the night before. I spent the night before with him and told him what to do on the show, and he did it, and it was
Joel
funny.
Is the
so I'll take some credit for that, for actually making a fun...
Pull the string!
Believe me, if he's left to his own devices, MC Sampler ain't making anyone laugh. And that segment on Fox 2 was hilarious. I think we played it here on the show. It was great.
Okay, Jason Carr can play off with me. So
right,
when
yeah,
I do a segment with him, it's fun.
And you and him together is good.
But sometimes
but
you go
I
on there and you
him,
feel like, oi.
And I know you've complained this to me privately, and I don't want to, you know, but
sure, get me.
I watched him do the match game the other day, Corey.
Without me.
Well, without anyone of any talent at all. I mean, it doesn't need you if there's somebody funny there. It might still work. It's not like
the problem is
that was just
when they get like funny guys in comics and stuff come in through there all the time.
Yeah,
that's when you should play match game. But like sometimes they'll just do it with a stagehand.
Yeah,
and you go.
I think they had a magician doing it with them. There was some magician.
Oh, yeah.
Who was plugging something and he did it, and I was just like, oh Lord.
Well, at least that's an entertainer.
No, it was not entertaining.
Have you had any magician encounters? Have you had any?
They'll make things disappear. Those magicians.
You
speaking of magicians,
right inside you.
Hey now.
Oh.
Hey you.
I dated a magician before.
You dated? Yeah, you did date him. You? I know the magician you dated. Yeah, I know
wait
that guy.
Wait a second.
That's too bad.
Yeah, you know that guy.
Was he good with his hands?
I don't kiss.
You were flabby.
Slight of his hand.
No.
You
wait. So you're saying you do kiss, vagina. Which I didn't think. I thought you were just like, look, I'm just gonna get into this and do it hardcore.
No. Well, I mean, Yeah, well, magicians.
Like a true
one
racist.
Thing you know about magicians, if you ever see, because I, you know, I dabble in the magical arts myself, and I don't consider myself a magician.
Is this whole podcast a personal ad for you?
No, it's not. But I'm saying
guys, in 8 years.
Yeah.
I've been doing this show with Joel. I've never heard something gayer come out of his mouth.
I dabble
in the magical arts.
If you notice, Corey, I have
a shelf
of magic.
Of magical
I have a
books.
Shelf of magic. Some of them are magic history books, but some of them are, you know, books with magic tricks in them. Oh. And there are magical things that I have and I've purchased.
Magical things.
Are magical things. Notice my magic shelf also shares space with professional wrestling.
wonderful.
Bruce Springsteen, a book my ex-girlfriend wrote about me and for me.
Did we break that out last time?
No, you know, I've never talked about that on the show, so let's not talk about it now. And
let's read from it.
No, yeah, you go. That's on you, fat man. You can read from it. I ain't going down that road with you, fucker.
Oh.
I ain't going down there. But yeah.
I got to say, I never had that happen. That's
you never had what? Oh, a girl write a book for
write a book, no.
She was inspired by our relationship to write a book for children. So that should tell you a lot about our relationship.
Wow.
No, it's a fine book. It's a nice book.
It's a fine book.
She put a lot of work into that book. She said
fine.
She said she was going to sell some to somebody. I don't know if that ever happened.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. That's okay. You can show Sam the book.
Oh, no. You don't want to go down this road.
I just don't want Corey making fun of it. Sam will say nice things about it.
Corey will make fun of it regardless.
No, Sam will say nice things.
If Corey's in the house, he's going to make fun of it.
Well, I think I've showed it to Corey privately. And
anyway, so what was his best trick when he dated the magician?
What I was going to say about magicians is just in this, and then I'll let Sam talk, is that if you ever see a magician and his assistant, he's banging the assistant.
Oh.
That's 100% true. No, that's 100% true in magic. Because you have to spend so much time with somebody.
Insider facts.
That the magician is always banging the assistant.
Literally.
That's absolutely true. And I'm not like talking like Penn and Teller, but like, you know, although
you okay
except
although,
for where you are.
Although Siegfried and Roy were fucking each other in the ass. But
well, sure.
But yeah, but if you ever see the guy with the
female
magician.
Where else
magician,
would they fuck each other?
Well, whatever. They're, yeah, I don't know, in the tiger's ass. I don't know.
Well, that's.
But go ahead, Sam, if you want to answer Corey's question now.
What was my ex's
what
best
was his
trick?
Best trick, yes.
Pretending he liked me.
Oh! Hey now.
Uh-oh. I didn't expect... That was not the answer I was expecting.
That was good.
It was better than the answer I was expecting.
There
yeah, there it is. Yeah. Who knew? Samantha Rager being funny. Well, you don't have to elaborate on that. We don't want her to elaborate on that, do we, Corey?
Sure we do.
yeah, there's no need to clarify anything because, you know... I think it speaks for itself.
There's always something weird about working with magicians. It's only happened to me a handful of times.
Yeah, I've done that too. You open for the magician.
But like one time, like I did a gig and I did not know there was a magician on the bill.
Yeah.
And it was like a private, it was like a country club gig. And they had a little green room backstage.
Uh-huh.
And me and the other comic, it was Sal.
Yeah.
And I were talking and there's a bag that starts moving.
Yeah.
Like there's just like,
yeah.
And we're like, what the fuck? And I look and there's like doves. There's like a
yeah,
bag full of doves.
Doves in the bag,
just,
yeah.
Just like slow. Yeah. Like,
right.
What the hell have I stepped into?
Yeah, like magicians are weird cats. They're definitely a different breed of human beings. So
yeah.
Just from the ones I've met.
Look. Comics already dysfunctional and fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, exactly.
Comics dysfunctional, sexually aggressive cokeheads.
Yeah.
And then magicians are like another level of dysfunction
magicians
below
are,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like, after that, it's like clown rap, I think. And then when,
well,
I don't know,
magicians
and then,
have to, please, I'm not even falling into your fucking stupid trap there. But magicians also, but the thing about magician is like they have to maintain that, like, you know, that we that mysticism and that like that sort of, you know what I mean? Like it's not like
are
you
they
and I
Buddhist
comics. No, we can go to that. No, but they have to have that mystique that they have magical
yeah,
powers.
Right.
And when you're playing at the VFW hall, there's not a lot of magical shit happening there, so it's hard to you know what I mean? Like so, like when we if we tell a joke and it doesn't work. We can right, laugh it off and move along, but if somehow, you know, yeah, their props didn't work because, you know, they sat too long in the trunk of their Honda Accord on their way to the gig, they have to
so
deal with that.
So the doves died.
Yeah, or saying, the doves die. Yeah, that happens too in magic. A lot of weird shit happens.
I'm just picturing, like, your ex, Sam. I'm just picturing, like, like you knocking on the door and he's wearing just a robe. And he's like, come experience the world of magic and wonder.
Was there a puff of smoke and he disappeared? Was there any
exactly,
of that? Was there One minute he's there, one he's not. Did that ever happen?
I'm sorry.
No? Did he ever make you escape from handcuffs or anything? Did he ever go, no, this is easy, and then you could never get out and you just spent all night in the
One of Lauren's boyfriends did that, but he was not a magician.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that's like, exactly that.
Yeah. Right. All right, so now I think we're going to wrap it up. I got to talk about this Jeopardy thing before we go.
Oh, God, okay.
Because I know Lauren loves this story.
I love Jeopardy.
Talking about it before the show. This is a guy. There's a guy on Jeopardy. Now, I believe, not tell me because I don't watch every week or every night. This guy is the current champion on Jeopardy, Lauren?
Yes.
Is that right?
Before they went into their little champion.
But now
thing.
They're into like
80s throwback
80s week. And 90s.
So this guy, I guess you'll have to start watching starting like next Monday or something. But there's a guy named Arthur Chu. And people hate him, apparently, on Jeopardy. He's won, I think, 3 shows in a row. And his strategy...
Haters gonna hate.
His strategy, this Arthur Chu guy, is that basically he will switch... normally in Jeopardy, when someone is picking, they'll pick the lowest dollar amount question in a category that they like, and they'll try to run the category and clear them all out. That's generally the strategy that goes in, correct?
Yeah.
Am I right? Okay. So this guy's strategy is... I'm going to try to hit the daily double. So I'm going to pick high dollar questions, and I'm going to go from one subject to the next subject until I find it. And even if I don't find it or I can't get it right, at least my competitors don't get it.
Yeah.
And therefore, it will help me win the game. That's his strategy, correct?
He's playing to win.
Yeah, he's playing to win.
I think that's – I don't think there's any harm in it. It's a game show where you have to play to win hundreds of thousands of dollars potentially.
Here's a quote from Arthur Chu here. He says, the only chance you have to give yourself an edge, the only moment of power or choice you have in Jeopardy is choosing the next clue if you got the last one right. So if you're unpredictable when you do that, you keep opponents on their toes, and it's a lot more mentally tiring and might tick people off in the audience. But it lets you gain and keep an edge that's very important to winning the game.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting... I mean, there's nothing that says you have to go category by category.
Right.
And
there
I
isn't.
I can see how this strategy would
but
be
I watched helpful. I watched one of his episodes online that this article... This is actually... It's a very good article on Kotaku by Jason Schreiber. Is that the author?
Yeah.
He's a good writer. Anyway. But he goes into the whole like game theory of... Of the day of the final Jeopardy, where
yes.
he doesn't bet like you're supposed to. He doesn't bet like most people would normally bet. He bets so in case both people get it wrong, he wins. That's how he calculates his
He bets
wager.
So he can tie.
Yeah, he bets. What is they?
He bets to tie because he tied one day last week. So they both because he doesn't give a shit if he ties with somebody because then they both move to the
right.
Next
he says
day.
He says two bets for the possibilities that one both the first and second place players will get the final question right, and then two they'll both get it wrong. If one player is right and the other is wrong, it's safe to assume the correct player will win. So
one thing I've noticed is that women chronically underbet.
Is that what happens
in Final Jeopardy?
Yeah.
But I think people are mad at this
right?
guy.
Right, they don't.
You know why I'm mad at him is because he just fucking slams his finger on that damn buzzer the whole time.
Well, I've read that too, that people don't like him.
The sound drives me crazy.
Because he's arrogant.
It's that little dry clicking. Oh, I don't care about the arrogance. It's that sound.
Hey, look how much the cat likes that, Corey. Would you just look at him? He's gone nuts.
He just clicks it. And, I mean, you're not. They've already decided on someone else.
But don't you think for the audience that, because when I watch this one, it's a lot harder to follow the game because if you're not really hardcore watching it, and maybe you are hardcore Jeopardy and you try to like follow along and answer everything, like when they jump from category to category, it's harder to follow unless you're really paying attention. You don't even know what category they're in.
Yeah.
And so the questions become that much harder if you don't know what the category is.
Sam,
and so
Jeopardy
to an audience
is a game show in which they ask people trivia and you have to answer in the form of a question.
Yeah. Some comics might ask you to play this after a show.
That's right.
But it requires buzzers and a bunch of television, so it's probably not real. But anyway, but I think it's annoying to the audience because they're trying to follow along, and all of a sudden you're jumping from one category to the other, and now the whole thing
doesn't
make
sense.
Yeah,
really.
But the audience
it does bother some people.
The audience aren't the ones who have the opportunity to win a bunch of money.
That's true.
So they can keep their damn
opinions
to
themselves. No, I agree with
that.
But don't you agree that there's a certain audience in Jeopardy? And I was saying this to Corey, and I don't put you in this category, but I know this. I had a roommate once who would like DVR Jeopardy every night, and I would go to my DVR, and there was 80,000 Jeopardies eating up my DVR space. And I would go like this roommate of mine is not a person that I would consider bright. Why the hell are you watching Jeopardy? And my theory is that there's people that watch Jeopardy who just like wish they could be smart. And so they watch Jeopardy to sort of like watch, watch smart people play a game, and therefore they'll feel smart by watching the game.
Well,
instead of like actually, you know.
You disagree with this all
well,
the time.
Well, I do. I don't think dumb people watch Jeopardy. I really don't think it's like a.
I do. I feel like it's.
Really? Okay, if that was the case, dumb people would be watching C-SPAN.
No, that's different.
Really?
That's different because people think they can do well on Jeopardy, but they can't because it's harder than it looks.
This cat wants a piece of you, Samantha. His cat's coming over.
Let him have a piece. Samantha's ready. Come on.
Yeah.
Let him have a piece. Go on. Get in. Go get you some.
She's beckoning.
He's not fixed or anything, Sam. Go get it.
Jazz hands to get that cat over.
Doing baby jazz hands.
You can get some cat.
But
do you watch Jeopardy, Samantha?
I don't think that.
I love it. I don't love it as much as Lauren. But
So I think it's just annoying, though. But those dumb people are the ones that are getting annoyed with this guy. They're not seeing the strategy. They're just saying, oh, now it's just a bunch of random questions. Jeopardy's an easy show to watch when, oh, for 5 minutes we're going to talk about this category.
I don't watch it every night, but
and it's much easier to watch that way.
Yeah.
I don't watch it every night, but I've watched Jeopardy for most of my life. Whenever. Mm-hmm. It's a good show. I've always thought about doing the test.
Yeah.
And then I'll watch one, and it'll be a category like the Hanseatic League.
Yeah.
And you realize you're like, oh, shit, I'm not smart enough for this.
Right.
You start going, oh, yeah. What was going on?
I feel that way about Chopped every time I watch that show.
The cooking? Yeah. Yeah.
I could totally be on Chopped. Oh, wait, I have to butcher a pig myself.
Unless you're like an executive chef at a restaurant or, you know, a sous chef or something. Yeah, that's hardcore cooking.
There was a girl a couple episodes ago that was actually a stand-up comedian from New York.
Yeah?
And I saw her, and I was like, oh, I could do this.
Right.
I think she won like 10 grand, and I was like, this bitch, I could handle this.
Yeah.
And then the next episode, they had to butcher a fish, and I was like, I don't, homie, don't play that.
Well, it's hard. You don't know where the bones are.
Yeah, just getting back to Jeopardy, let me ask a question, because it says in there, the theory, according to Jason Schreiber, is that this is how everyone's going to play Jeopardy from here on out. That the old game is gone, that this is now, people are going to watch this guy, this is going to be what they're going to mimic, and the entire show will be different.
Well, he took it from someone else. He called it Forrest something.
Yeah, it's in the article.
The Forrest guy. Well, yeah. The Forrest guy from Grand Blank who won in the 90s. How he learned this.
It's called the Forrest Bounce. It's based on a player named Chuck Forrest, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not a new thing. So when somebody did this in the 90s, everybody didn't start doing it.
Well, how did Ken Jennings do it?
He just is really smart.
He was just really smart.
That's one of the things that Arthur Chu says in this article. Now, he's like, I don't have the breadth of knowledge that Ken Jennings had, so I have to use something else, which is he studied a bunch of Jeopardy games.
Well, they do throw out the possibility that Jeopardy could alter the rules by making the Daily Double be some random thing and not necessarily be in one designated spot.
Yeah.
Which I guess would make it somewhat more
hard. Is the Daily Double
hit.
In a designated spot?
It is when you start the game.
It's in
when you
either
start the round.
The top two. It's one of the top two most highest point value questions.
Okay.
Well, the theory
so
is,
that's what he's doing.
Is you
he's
could
going
make
to
it,
all of those questions
okay.
first
you could make
and
it,
then going to the rest
like,
of it.
You could make it, say, the 13th question of the round would be the Daily Double. Mm. Then it wouldn't be necessarily one category and one question would be the Daily Double.
Right. But then they
it
have
just
to
would
prepare,
be the other 13. That,
they have
the
to prepare a Daily Double
up.
For each category.
Yeah, it's true. The Daily Double is sort of a different
and
question
than
the
other
one. And then
they do video Daily Doubles.
Yeah, I don't know, but they're saying that that would... That
we're getting
would,
deep inside Jeopardy.
It would prevent...
Here.
Well, we're getting... That's what the show is about, getting deep, Corey.
There you go.
We're going to get deep. That's why Samantha Rager's here. We're getting very deep.
Yes.
Yes. But no, I mean, they're saying that that could change the game, and I think that would be... I don't know if people are... I don't know if that's something they should do.
I'm a genius.
I think they should let the guy play this way.
A man and his wand. Just...
Dude, I am going to Orlando in a couple of weeks. I'm going to get a great wand. It's going to be amazing.
Are you
going to
get a wand? Really?
Going to the Harry Potter Universal.
Oh, the Harry Potter wand.
Who's your favorite Harry Potter character?
Hermione Granger.
Well, sure. Of course.
I don't even know from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You guys are old.
Now, do you enjoy Neville Longbottom? Or
He got fine.
Yeah,
did,
he
see?
Did.
There you go.
No.
He de-pubertied real well.
While we're on the subject of Harold Potter and the Sorcerer's Bollocks, I resisted the Harry Potters for a long time because, you know, I was too old.
Because you're an adult.
I was working at Borders when the books came out, and I just got mad at all the asshole kids that wanted the book.
It was too popular.
Sorry about that.
And
I probably kicked you in the shins and ran away with the book at some point.
Yeah, it was nuts. I was not a big fan of this. But I got to say this. One thing about movies, there's no movies worth talking about right now. They're all garbage.
Oh, I was going to have you review something.
Okay. Here's one I saw I will review briefly.
Yeah, okay.
Can we stop trying to make Harry Potter knockoffs?
There's a new one?
Well, the new one is Vampire Academy.
Oh God.
Isn't that a Twilight knockoff?
I can't figure out what they want to do with that movie.
It's a Harry Vampire. It's a Harry Twilight. Vampire. Right?
I love those Harry vampires.
Well, I know one Harry that is a vampire. Yeah. But he sucks the comedy out of the room. Come on!
I'm fine.
All right,
I'm laughing at this guy. I'm laughing at that comment. It's a visual thing. I don't even know if it works. That's pretty good, right? A guy has the guy who figured out pressure luck.
Yeah,
and it says you have learned well, my son.
Oh.
In regards to
well, that we talked about that Arthur guy. He beat press your luck by counting,
figured out the
and
pattern,
timing the pattern.
Luck, yes.
But they got him every year. They make these. There's how many of these have not worked? There was the Golden Compass. There's always a new fantasy.
Did they stop making those? Because they still make the Narnia movies, right? Those they've made a few of.
Narnia's been a success.
How many of those?
Narnia is a book series that's
right.
Been
but I'm saying they thought that
time.
Was the
Narnia
thing.
Books were came out in the '50s or something.
Okay, but the movies. But I'm saying they've made how many movies now of that?
Three maybe.
So, but those haven't been giant hits, and they keep making those.
Okay, Percy Jackson and
Percy Jackson. They've made two
and
of
the
those.
Olympians, the Lightning Thief.
Right, they've made two. of
Did
those.
You watch that? They made two of those.
They've made two of those, yes.
What's that?
I said my dad loves those.
Your dad loves Percy Jackson? Really?
Is your dad a magician? Anyway, no, that's fine.
Girls
date
their fathers.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't
know. Oh, okay. Well, maybe. Well, guys, start watching the Percy Jackson series if you would like to.
If you want a
play
date
Scrabble
with,
Sam Rager,
fire up Percy Jackson. Bust out some magic tricks.
Start working
Scrabble.
On your up close card magic.
Yeah, start working on your back palm. Start working on your coin slides. Start working on your
your coin slots.
Coin slides. Coin slides. Slide. Sleight of hand.
But can we stop with the knockoff? Because Vampire Academy is the and apparently there's the book industry's dead, and yet there's always a book series that everybody's in love with. That they're making a movie, you know?
There always is.
I mean, Hunger Games has been a big, huge success, so I guess that we're stuck with that,
and those
too.
Books came out 6 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
I think something like that.
So I'd say Harry Potter and Hunger Games and Twilight were the most successful.
Yeah.
And then for those three, there's been about 40 The Spiderwick Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's been like attempts to make these franchises.
Was the one where Emma Thompson was an old creepy lady or something? What was that?
Oh,
series?
Nanny McPhee.
But that was a series of books, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
There was
and that
series
went nowhere.
Of unfortunate events. That bricked after one movie.
That was Jim Carrey.
Those are for a much younger audience, though. I thought.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and those books I remember when those books came out and they did really well.
Right. What was the sci-fi thing that came out with Harrison Ford? That was supposed to be a big deal.
Ender's Game.
Isn't that it's going to be a series of...
You mean Indiana Jones 4?
Yes.
No, Ender's Game. Yeah, isn't that supposed to
be a big
deal?
It's the one where he's in love with Anne Heche. That's a science fiction movie.
That's a science fiction movie?
They finally stopped doing that where Harrison Ford's like dating an embryo.
Yeah, Harrison Ford's not...
He's 68 and he's dating a 26-year-old. It's like, you know...
Well, I think Hollywood found more...
What's that?
I'd hit that.
You did that?
Da-da-da-da.
Give it up for Harrison Ford. Da-da-da. All right.
Well, you know, Hollywood, you know, went through a crisis. Hollywood went through a crisis
Swinging
where there were no young actors to be love interests. It was all old guys. And then they figured out there's young British guys and stuff. And there's young Australian guys. That's what happened with that.
Yeah.
Because it used to be all the old white guys, and everyone would have
to be
in love
with them. Well, Kevin Costner's got a new movie, calm down.
But he's not, no one's in love with him in that, right? Isn't he kind of playing Liam Neeson from Taken? Isn't that the idea?
Yes.
He's just like, I'm going to kick everyone's ass.
No one's ever in love with Kevin Costner.
Well, Liam Neeson's got a new movie.
He kicks ass in some new movies.
You know what? Who has ever been in love with Kevin? Kevin Costner was never really a romantic,
Bull Durham.
Bull Durham
and stuff.
What's that?
Last of the Mohicans?
No, that was Daniel Day-Lewis.
That was Daniel Day-Lewis.
Houston and
Dances with Wolves.
Some old guy movie with Native Americans.
Yeah. He was in love with a wolf.
Yeah. No, people in love with Kevin Costner and lots of stuff, sure.
Yeah. I guess Jeannie Triplehorn in Waterworld.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the hunky. Robin Hood.
He was in love with Morgan
Harrison
Freeman.
Any day, I'm
okay.
Sorry,
who was the female lead in Robin Hood? I don't remember.
The Harrison Ford Robin Hood was Mary Mastrantonio.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. I was working at the movie theater.
Hachi-machi.
Don't, you can't, with movies from like 89 to 95, I will get everyone because I worked in the movie theater.
Christian Slater
and
was
I,
in that.
I, yeah, I know all those, so yeah.
That movie was really bad. It
yeah,
was
it was.
Hit.
That was a terrible movie. Alan Rickman as the villain.
We're due for a new
oh,
Ronald.
Oh, I love Alan Rickman.
Oh, Alan Rickman's, bro. She lit up on Alan Rickman. Something. There's something. He's got a certain magician
you
quality
like,
about Alan Rickman. Yeah.
I think you like him.
He's got
old.
A certain Professor Snape.
Yeah, there is. A...
You like him old and sinister. I think is what we're picking out.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
So just basically look like a villain.
Yeah, yeah.
Should hit that.
Oh
well,
man.
She must. She would have liked that Jaguar ad with all of
that's
those guys
true with
on
Mark
there.
Strong.
Yeah,
and,
all those guys.
Who was in there?
I you know I don't even know their names.
Was
but
it wasn't
they were...
Benedict Cumberbatch?
No, it wasn't Benedict Cumberbatch. It was. Okay. I can't even remember who that was.
Yeah.
But you recognize the guys. You're like, oh, yeah, these
right.
are all.
Mark Strong. All Mark Strong's movies. A villain in everything.
Yeah. So I don't know if
he's a villain in life.
I guess speaking
yeah, he
of.
Kicks his kids.
Speaking of British stuff, I just want to give this because, you know, I did my top TV shows. And when I went back and I remember how, like, our top lists were kind of like last year's top list and we just repeated them. But on my top list from 2012, I had Top Gear and then I didn't have it on for 2013 because I realized I didn't watch Top Gear. So since we last did a show. I've done nothing but watch Top Gear, and I love it again, so I am okay. recommending that. If you go to see Top Gear, where they go to Egypt, and they try to find the source of the Nile, it's a two-hour special, and it's fantastic.
Well, all right.
Go watch that one. I know it sounds boring, but
it's Ben Kingsley and Tom Hiddleston.
Ben Kingsley and Tom Hiddleston, yes,
who played
exactly.
Loki.
So go watch Top Gear, the British one. It's on Netflix.
Wait, somebody perked up for
Loki. What, for
who? Did you perk up for Loki, too?
Oh,
you're
geez.
Really into villains.
Start
right.
reading off random men's names and see which one she likes more. Yeah, start with Joel Fragamenti and then start going down from there.
Yeah, we should have started
and
this
see,
earlier.
We yeah, I didn't know this Sam, would be a bit that Sam would suddenly become aroused with. We need to figure up some sort of mechanism that, you know, a light or something that would
but
go off
common.
Every time that, yeah, so.
The guy who plays Thor, though. Oh.
The guy that plays Thor.
Yeah, I'll give him some that's, hammer. That's
hey! Hey now!
You win.
That's good.
You win.
So yeah, I think we can wrap.
I mean,
it
that guy. That's like yeah. that's cheating though. He's like the Hemsworth, Chris
yeah,
Hemsworth.
Yeah.
He's like I look at that guy and go, I get it. I see why.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Like you know, like that's.
He and his brother hit some genetic ladder.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
That's true. Yeah, and
well, there's always, I'm never usually into the one hot blonde that everybody else is like Kate Upton and shit.
Yeah.
That everybody's into. Oh well, she's kind of.
I'd
good.
Hit that.
Well, yeah. Who like, I was Pam Anderson. I was not a big fan of,
yeah.
but. I can look at Kate Upton. I get. I understand that.
Well, who's your crush at the moment, Corey? Who makes you
oh,
light
we've
up?
Done this a billion times.
No, well, let's do it now when girls are here and you have to be in.
I'm trying to think
see
of
if you'll
what,
be honest.
I'm trying to think of what I'm into. Right
Neville
now.
Longbottom? Is that your crush?
I'm totally into him. Totally into him. I like Imogene Poots.
Who? What is she from?
Oh, jeez. We've talked about her before.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Usually when we do a, you know,
well, I'll pull up. No, because there was the one that I... Remember, you were like, what about that girl? And I go, yeah, I have a bookmark of her. I got to figure out who that was. I can't remember. You know,
when
I
it
must
comes
have
to like,
rid of it.
When it comes to, like, Starlet.
Oh, it was Bella Heathcote, because she was in all those
Bella
bad movies
Heathcote,
a year ago.
Right, sure.
And now I don't even know what happened to her, but Bella
when it
Heathcote.
Comes to, like, starlet crushes, they're kind of short-lived for
yeah,
me.
They are. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, unless it's, like, Gillian Anderson, who, you know.
You
I mean,
just... That just stays just, with you. That's
I'll
just,
watch all 9 seasons of The X-Files
yeah,
for
I'm
that.
About,
that one never gets old.
I'm all about me some Scully. You know, whatever.
No, nothing. That you're into? Well, just in movies I saw in the last year or whatever, Anna Sophia Robb in The Way, Way Back.
Okay.
That's
all
good right there.
Good for you.
That's the good right there. I'm applauding.
Sure.
Corey never saw the movie, so you just...
No, I know.
But, you know, she's
I know who Anna Sophia
she's in The Carrie Diaries.
Yeah.
The worst and best bit of casting in the history of mankind.
It's interesting.
That if somehow... Because apparently at the end of Carrie Diaries, she must get hit by a bus... Because then she can be played by Sarah Jessica Parker on Sex and the
yeah,
City.
Yeah, it's a
that's
weird.
That's the only
that's
way
a
that
weird
that works.
Well,
there's
happening.
No way that
she stopped the bus with her
Anna
face.
Anna Sophia Robb.
That's what happened.
Turns into Sarah
yeah,
Jessica Parker.
That's such a strange
without
thing.
Some. Yeah, isn't that weird? Like she's.
I
not
didn't.
Even...
I've never watched an episode of Sex and the City, but I was curious about. I love origin stories, so I was like, I'm going to watch all of the Carrie.
You
Diaries
love origin right? stories?
I love them. I love them
really?
So much. I loved that Hannibal Rising one. The one.
Oh,
where
I love that too, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
See again.
All right.
The serial killer
Yeah, she's something.
We're gonna have to.
How do you feel about Charles Manson, Samantha?
Yeah, Sam.
Kind of hot. We're gonna have to wipe this chair down if we keep talking about. Let's start listing.
Keep.
You know.
I like it.
Stalin.
How do you feel? Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, what's he been doing lately? Oh, come on.
You would have been like Ted Bundy. You would have invited Ted Bundy back up to your dorm room. I'm trying to think
who else I could give you for new actresses or new crushes. I don't even know. I'm thinking.
I know. We're now seeming like we're so...
No, I mean, we're not, but...
I also say Lake Bell has the best body in show business.
Lake Bell is in that In a World movie that you liked.
I mean, I'm realistic. I like more quirky kind of chicks.
Sure.
I mean, you know, but there's... You can objectively just look and go, okay, I get... Like Chris Hemsworth, I go...
You go...
I get why chicks like that. I get,
that's,
you know, right?
It's
like, that's everything I've never looked like in my life.
Yeah, it's a big slab of
blonde beef, and I get why chicks dig that, you know?
Right.
And I don't even... Like, sometimes I get mad at girls... Okay, I hate fucking Jared Leto, and I've always hated Jared Leto.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
He's a fucking... Well, I've hated him since he was on My So-Called Life.
Yeah, she doesn't know what My So-Called
Life is.
Well, you're so young. I know what My So-Called Life is.
You don't, Sam, you don't know what My So-Called Life is, do you?
I know that it was a TV show.
Well, you should look
Sam,
it up.
Sam, if you were born earlier, that would be your favorite television show.
She and I were born in the same year, and I know what that show
is.
Well, you're hipper. What can I say?
You
grew up with electricity, so it's okay.
Sam was raised by otters.
Yeah, I don't know if you're aware of this.
She was raised by a family of otters
on the commune
the
to see television.
Oh,
what was I going to... Who did I have? Oh, I saw Jenna Malone on a show.
Oh, I like
the
Jenna
other
Malone.
Day. Jenna sure, Malone's sure. cute. Yeah,
she looks like a different person.
She does. She looks different in every movie.
Okay.
But she was on. I think she was on Jimmy Fallon, and it was
more
was
age
cute.
Appropriate. I love Amy Adams.
Okay, Amy Adams. Sure.
I kind of got a thing for redheads. What
okay,
think,
all right. Amy Adams. That's good.
Have.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. I'm
Joseph
with
Gordon Levitt.
You like?
Yeah,
that?
That's
Did
your.
Did you see Don
yeah.
John?
Yeah, I was so disappointed in that.
Really?
Oh, my God. I watched that, and I was like, oh.
That was
came, well, he's a real greaseball in that.
Well, not just that, what but everything the... about that movie. I was like, okay, so that's just the plot. Okay.
I actually really liked Don John.
That was on his top movies.
So much.
Really?
I hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
I was so disappointed by
why,
it.
What let you down?
It just, I mean, I really liked, I mean, the idea of it. It was like, oh, yeah, I get it. You need to figure out what you think love is and all that stuff, and I don't know. I know Joseph Gordon-Levitt directed it too, and it to me seemed very a lot more cynical than something I was interested in.
I liked ScarJo. I thought was great. I liked how their relationship switched and flopped around.
Oh no, I thought that was interesting, but it was like when I was watching it, Julianne
Moore was kind of there's an all-time Hall of Fame.
Julianne Moore,
props for her. That's a cougar right there.
I started getting really bored with it because it felt like a lot of that. It felt like there were parts of it that just lasted way too long, and I was like, "This is."
I liked it.
You can get to this point a little more quickly. Guys, just
I get you.
Stop
I
doing
get you.
That.
I was trying to find my top movie so I could recommend one. Well, The Chicken Wolf of Wall Street, whoever that Bim is.
God,
that's a woman, right?
That's not my type.
No, but really, that's, like, I mean, that's eye candy.
Guys all the way.
That's the point of that one. Yeah. And who else is good here?
I like girls that look like they have a bookshelf. I really do.
No, that's
like,
fine.
Like Rachel Weisz?
Rachel Weisz is
The girl.
But that's naturally, that's like a... That's not, you don't go and sit and go, oh God, Rachel Weisz, but that's a naturally sexy woman.
The girl in that,
you know,
the girl in that movie
real.
Rubberneck that I recommended.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that girl's cute. I forget her name. She's been in some other stuff.
All right.
That was good. And
let's talk about girls. We
Spring
like,
Breakers. Spring Breakers, if you want some girls.
Oh,
there
geez.
You go.
Aubrey Plaza. I love Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza, okay.
We were big in Aubrey Plaza about 2 years ago.
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza kind of.
And then she
kinda,
fell off the cliff.
She got too popular.
Yeah. That's exactly it. If they get too popular.
No,
when people start liking stuff, I'm out.
That's it. You generally
like stuff before everybody else likes it.
It's not cool anymore.
God, you're such like the hipster woman taste.
I am really an old.
He is.
How do you feel about Kristen Stewart?
I think she is just unfortunate looking, and
Corey doesn't
don't
like
think
her
she's a good actress
because she's not funny or she's not quirky.
She's kind of bland.
She doesn't really have a personality.
Dull, yeah. She's pretty. I mean, she's legit. She's pretty, but like one, I can say this with limited experience. But the super skinny girls I did date in my life, all annoying.
I don't think she's even objectively pretty. Yeah. Like, there are people that I find so attractive, and Kristen Stewart, I don't see it.
No,
I don't.
Not into it.
Oh God, I don't follow.
There's just something about her that makes me want to keep on watching her, and I don't know what is or why.
Because you would like for her to start acting, and you're wondering when that's going to start happening.
You got a little girl crush on her? Is that you get caught up in her world?
I like sadly am a fan of the whole Twilight thing. And I didn't
expect I read all the books. I love the movies other than her.
Oh. I ain't seen those.
You got to really honestly.
You are lying.
I would say, I'm just going to tell you this. Just watch the last one.
Well,
don't watch any of the other Twilight movies. And just to see that last one is so spectacularly, amazingly bad.
Yeah.
It's like hilarious, mind-blowing. When they start ripping heads off and stuff, it's incredible. It really blew my mind.
Really? Because, eventually I date a girl that's into dumb shit, and I end up watching it.
Sure.
And but for some reason, I avoided it with Twilight. It never happened. It never overlapped with anyone, I don't think. Listen.
You were dating age-appropriate women.
No, remember? I mean, I sat through Weeds. I sat through a lot of dumb shit.
Weeds went right down.
Weeds, yeah. I must have saw it at the end because it was no good when I had to sit there and watch
I
sat through how many Grey's Anatomies? I don't know. At least two full seasons
of
that.
God, that's scary.
I sat through Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, God.
Look at me.
I couldn't do that.
I sat through Grey's Anatomy for a girl.
You guys sat through a lot of shitty taste in film and TV shows.
You're
talking about Grey's Anatomy. You were talking about Hugh Grant movies earlier. God,
I'm telling you, it's the old days.
See, Corey found a woman who's not interested in anything on television.
That's not true.
No, because she makes you watch a bunch of
The bad stuff that I have to watch.
Don't
is
you
like,
watch makeover stuff and real estate shows or something?
Porn. Yeah, it's
that's annoying too.
Love it or list it. And
sure, yeah, that's bad. But you do sometimes have to sit through stuff.
What about
that you don't want to watch?
The chick from How I Met Your Mother, who is also in the Avengers.
Colby Smulders.
Again, like Aubrey Plaza, I was on to her a million years ago.
Years ago.
That was my thing a million years ago, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of off ScarJo at this point.
Yeah, you're off that, too.
Everybody was
You liked her in, like, Ghost World. And
yeah, I did.
It was all downhill
I totally
there.
Did.
Lost in Translation.
I'm such a peak goddamn
down. Straight
asshole.
Down. Straight down. Down.
Oh, breaking the prototype of, like...
you like Greta Gerwig, because she was in one of your favorite movies, Frances Ha. You like her.
I dig Greta Gerwig.
And
I just think she's a really good actress. It's not like I'm just like drooling with lust over her, but
sure. But Greta Gerwig, something you'd chat her up if you had a shot, right?
Well,
you'd go to the bar if she was at the bar. You'd go like,
yeah,
hey,
I wouldn't.
What's
have a
going
shot,
on, baby?
I would chat her up.
I mean, let's assume you're not married in another world. Sure. Amy suffers a terrible accident, and you're
I think
grieving.
About it every day.
And yeah, and Greta Gerwig happens to be there.
Every,
and yeah,
I dream
that could happen.
I wake
well, something
up,
like that. Could
sometimes
happen.
I wake up and go,
sure.
Oh shit, it didn't happen.
You know, Amy goes on stage with a magician. There's a horrible accident.
Right,
the cables break.
You
she's dead.
Know.
Greta Gerwig shows up at the wake, and there you go.
Greta Gerwig.
Could happen.
I like that.
No, I don't know.
Zoe.
You like Zoe Deschanel?
Well, I like Zoe Deschanel in general, although she's a little overexposed.
The new girl thing is kind of annoying.
What's the one who did her own movie, Zoe.
Oh, I don't even know who that is.
She's with Paul Dano.
Oh, yeah. She made the movie where he what did he do? He invented her?
What is the...
Ruby Sparks was that movie. Which I found that movie annoying, but
I
get
cute.
Why you liked
her.
Yeah, she's cute. Yeah, Zoe, what's her name?
Zoe Kazan.
Kazan, yes. And you like the other one. You like those girls. You like some of them.
Oh, what, on the show Girls?
Yeah, girls.
That show has annoyed me to such degree.
By the way, I think the last one was the best one since the first season. But that's not necessarily saying all that much.
What with Hannah and the publishing thing?
I
can't believe you both watch that show and Sam and I don't, and we're the target.
Well, you know what, girls? It's funny. We did our best of
There's
TV.
Zoe Kazan, Sam.
Yeah, Zoe Kazan's cute. You want me to pull up Zoe Kazan?
She's a quirky beauty. All
right. You could give a fuck, right? But no, I like that. I like that Ray got to fuck Marnie. That was. That's always a good turn, right? When they let the ugly guy fuck
well,
the prettiest
Marnie's
girl
just
on
fucking
the show.
Everybody.
Well, that's good.
You guys don't watch girls.
You don't watch girls. All right.
Joel and I, in a moment of epic faggotry.
Yeah, it was.
In one of the. In a legendary moment of faggotry,
way, but,
We both named girl show of the year last year.
Yeah, in 2012 we said. And like we didn't even compare lists before. We just got to number one and I said, what's your number one? Yeah. It's like girls. And I go, oh, fuck, that's my number one.
And then well,
just and then the show became the worst show on television
as,
in season two.
As girls in your 20s, you're the demo for it.
Yeah.
I don't even have any even slight interest in watching that show. Yeah, right. I find the whole entitled middle class white person bullshit completely offensive.
Yeah, I love
well, you're
that people.
Hamtramck. You're Hamtramck, boo.
Right, but that's
you're
why
Hamtramck
that's why
through,
I
girl.
Find that yeah, I'm just then, like yeah. this is unrelatable for them to they keep calling it. I mean, good for what's her face, Lena Dunham for yeah. being oh, they she's doing she's writing a lot and Judd Apatow loves her and that's awesome. Good for her. But I find the subject matter to be like man, poor me. I can't afford well, this stuff. If you can't afford it, then fucking move somewhere you can afford. I'm sorry about your luck, dude.
I think
Sam lives in a car. I mean, you don't see her going and bitching about it on a TV show. I mean, that's your 20s right there is you're so poor you can't do something. You have to choose between your can of soup or your gas. Like, I think that is a way over entitled load of shit.
Yeah, but I mean, are you going to watch the show of the girl that's living in her car? Probably not. You're going to watch
I think
a show
that's more compelling.
And is entertaining. And I thought Girls was hugely entertaining, very funny. And, you know, I mean, you could dislike it for political reasons, but you just, you know, I you like it. I don't know. I liked it. I would never like that show. If you just hit me with the concept of that, I would go, oh, that's no good. But I tuned in and I enjoyed it.
I'll say this about Girls.
I did live in New York for a while, so I do have a little bit of a personal thing where my life overlaps with that.
Yes, when but, you were a young, struggling novelist
woman
in New York.
I lived in the building that inspired Felicity.
Oh, my God.
I lived in that same apartment building, the same dorm. The NYU dorm.
Felicity.
That was
Felicity. Was a show in the early 90s.
Yeah, explain to Sam what Felicity was.
Starring Carrie Russell.
Yeah.
Carrie
Russell's still good.
She lost her superpower, though. She cut her hair, and it's never really
she's
come
on. She's on The Americans, which is a good show. I watched that.
She's not bad.
Yeah, she still looks good. She's an older.
Well, Jennifer Grey. Who was I talking to about Jennifer Grey getting her nose job?
Jennifer Grey.
So I was talking to like Sal, I think, the other day. And it was like, yeah. She messed her face up.
She did. She did.
She had a unique look, and then she became very, she became prettier and yet more anonymous looking.
No one knew who she was.
Yeah, you got to keep, you have a unique look, you have to keep it. That's why Corey keeps his look. He doesn't want to become, he could be prettier.
No, I went out and got this.
Yeah,
nose.
You went
You went to the doctor and you were like, said, make me unique.
Yeah, I want this.
And he was like, fat and bald.
Right.
Done.
He said, I'm going to scrub I'm going to sandpaper the top of my head.
Make me look like an old Jewish tinker. Make me look like a guy Hitler would have snatched immediately.
Right.
In Prague in 1939.
Corey said, I got a tweed sport coat and I don't look like a man who should be wearing it. Can you fix that?
Oh,
and they did. And that's what you get right there, Corey.
Oh.
I'm not. It's not sports coat season. So I'm
it's
not.
No, it's not tonight on the show. But in public,
I do.
You will be seen with patches on the elbows, generally speaking, in a public setting. Correct?
I shop at the Film Critic Warehouse. Where they issue you.
Oh, you mean Value World?
All right,
nice tweed blazer, yes.
It's next door to college professor.
Corduroy blazers are quite my
college thing. Professors are us. All right. Well, we can say goodbye. I think we've done enough shows. Any other questions for Sam? Anything else we can get out of her?
Oh, I got plenty, but she
ain't talking. I feel like that Sam is a well that we need to be dropping a bucket into more frequently.
Well, that's what the magician thought.
Boom.
There was a rabbit in that bucket, and that's when it got weird.
Those are doves in my pants. They're not.
Hey-o. Do we have any plugs, ladies?
Do you guys want to plug anything? I mean, I know you've got roller derby going on now.
Yes, I do. Our game this weekend is actually sold out, the next game I'm playing in is not going to be until April 12th.
Oh.
The Masonic Temple, downtown Detroit.
Okay.
All kinds of me hitting ladies, knocking them down, getting really good at that.
The whammer.
What else do I got going on stand-up-wise?
Where are you going to be? February
27th
at O'Meara's Comedy Night?
That's entirely possible. That could happen.
I could get you on that, I think. I mean, it makes full sense.
That could happen.
Yeah.
I've been freeballing week to week on my booking. I'm trying to bring back this usage of freeballing to mean anything that
good,
I'm not
good,
anything.
Good luck with that.
that's I'll let her go. She can get away with it.
I'm gonna keep saying freeballing in context that is not meant
your
to be
tiny
used.
Lady balls.
I'm freeballing my tiny lady balls.
That's okay.
I'm doing a Laugh Riot doll show next month at some point.
Okay.
Okay.
It's good.
I've never heard of them, but that's
Samantha does the Laugh Riot dolls as well.
I'm making jokes. Yeah, you do too.
You are funny.
I'm very funny. You got to get all the references, but if you get them, it's funny.
It's an audience of two.
and you're one of them, Fat
I know,
man.
Inside I jokes. Know. Samantha, you have anything coming up you want to plug?
February 27th, Omaro's.
Oh,
there you go. Do you have just Facebook, or is there anywhere we can find you? You're at like every open mic.
I'm a creepy guy and I want to hit on you in the middle of the night, how do I do it? Snapchat? What is the best way to go about doing that with you?
Find any open mic in this area. Twitter, I'm
look
at SG Rager. I'm going to
Hold on, Twitter, SG Rager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's just okay.
Yep. And April 11th and 12th, I'll be at the Drop.
Instagram, Tumblr, Jig. Do we have an Etsy?
What is
page?
The Drop? I don't even know what that is. Tell everybody what that is.
Oh, it's a comedy club in South Bend.
Oh, in South Bend. Cool. Okay, very that's cool. Good. I'm guessing there's some comedian who's sharing a hotel room with you. I'm just making guesses. I don't know if that's true or not. Corey, what do you have to plug?
I will be at the Comedy Castle 21st through the 23rd with the amazing John.
Magician, look out.
I am working with the magician.
One of the best, though.
What
a
great magician day.
He's from Detroit. He's legitimately hilarious, and he's a great magician.
I am
amazing
really looking
Jonathan.
Forward to that.
Yeah, so. I'll be at those shows, too, in some capacity.
And I am... On Instagram, CoreyTron75.
What's on your Instagram?
I just put up pictures. And
of what?
That's what everybody does.
Yeah, that's what we all do. But
I don't know. There's a video.
You got selfies? Yeah, are there Instagram. Selfies?
I had a discussion with a duck.
This is all news to me. I don't know why you don't Instagram the cat that's asleep in front of you. Why are these things not
Twitter?
Instagram.
At Corey Hall Comic. Yes. I've been doing a lot of those hashtag games, like the At Midnight hashtag.
Yeah, Corey's on. Corey's big on At Midnight.
So
you can watch.
Like they had failed sports teams, and I had Palestine United. That was one. Thank you.
Oh, that's awful.
Thank you.
That's good.
Well, you know, they were like, you know, the Fukushima waves.
The jokes work better on Twitter.
Yeah,
they're not meant to be told out loud.
The Atlanta snowplows.
You just read them and they're fun.
I mean, you know, right.
When you speak them, it ruins the whole context.
There is a difference. Yeah. Though.
There is a Twitter
jokes
style
are
of
different.
Joke,
that's what
yeah.
I like. That's what I do like about Twitter.
Yeah.
Is it forces you to write in a different way? But
it does. It's different. Yeah.
All right.
So
Lauren's gonna. Her next appearance will be in her bed where she's sleeping.
It's going to be so good.
She's so nappy right now.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll get Lauren out of here. And I just want to plug Joel Radio. You can be our friend on Facebook, joelradio.net on Facebook. Yeah. And you can, of course, call the Douchebag Hotline. The Papa John Kanye West Douchebag Hotline at 610-552-0746. And you can tell us whatever you want. And if it's good, we'll play it on the air.
Leave your number for Lauren,
you can leave. I'll
Sam.
Pass. I will gladly pass your number on to either Sam or Lauren or both if you prefer. And, of course, Omero's Comedy Night, February 27th. Please come out. I'll be there hosting the show. It's going to be an open mic. You'll, of course, hear it. But if you're in the Detroit area and you want to be part, you can come out. And it's going to be recorded. And it's you'll hear it on this show. And I think it's going to be a good time. So everybody come out to that. So with that, I think we can say good night. Thanks to the girls for coming in. I think we should have two girls in here more often. But we'll have to meet more girls because I think this is all we know. So
I think we're going to
have to do that. And who knows? But
I want to thank you ladies for doing Black History Month Roundtable. And it's really, I think
that's
we got
isn't that why Sam's here?
To the important issues of the day.
We can't forget about that. And
can't forget about Sam, the one-quarter black,
you know what I'm saying?
Stand-up comedian.
It takes a village. 40 acres and a mule. A people united will never be divided.
Right. So thank you.
And it's been a long time coming, but a change going to come.
All right.
What's the password for this show?
Oh, I don't know. Is it this long enough to have a password? Let me see. I don't think anyone claimed the last password. This is 2.5,
okay,
so
all right.
225. So do you want to...
Tiny Lady Balls.
Tiny please. Lady Balls will be
send
the...
Send us a message that you that listen to the whole show.
Title of the show now, but
tiny
that's okay.
Tiny Lady Balls.
Well, you could...
Freeballing. That could be
freeballing.
That would be the code. Send that to Lauren Uhalic on Facebook at 3 a.m. and she'll know. She'll know that's the code. She'll come join you for Scrabble.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right.
That's
she's right over there. All right. Take it easy, everybody. We'll see you later on Joel Radio. Good night.